B-Pod Studios.
It's 2 o'clock in Philadelphia, and time for the best show ever. Now, your starting lineup. With 11 years in the big leagues, he's walked the walk, he's talking the talk, never holding back, always bringing the heat. Ricky Botalico. Living and loving Philly sports since birth, long hair, tattoos, and the only thing bigger than his Philly passion is his Philly mouth. Now, Hunter Brody. She's a Georgia transplant, a 20-year Philadelphia radio vet, producing the show and pressing everybody's buttons, the perfect mix of Philly attitude and Southern charm. Jen Gordo! And finally, your host, a 22-year radio personality, born and raised in South Jersey. A Philadelphia sports lifer, a dedicated, true, 5-for-5 expert, Ty Rose-Dunson. It's the best show ever. A 97.5, the Fanatic, Philadelphia.
Good afternoon, everybody. How about that intro? Welcome to the best show ever here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia. The phone number to participate, 610-632-0975. Yes, you just heard the cast of characters. To my left, Hunter Brody. How are you today, Hunter?
I'm doing fantastic. The juices are flowing after that. I'm ready to take a charge.
Ready to roll?
Yeah.
Ready to go?
Yeah.
So his left, the great Ricky Botalico. How you doing, man?
Matty Cord got me fired up.
Feeling good?
Kidding me?
Feeling good.
Ready to go.
And in the other room, all alone.
All by myself.
Jen Scordo, how are you today, Jen?
I'm great. Good to be here.
All right. Yes, this is the debut episode of The Best Show Ever. And you're wondering, people, if you just tuned in, if you've been under a rock the last couple of weeks, whatever it may be, why is it called The Best Show Ever? We'll lay it out real fast, for hopefully the last time, but we will lay it out right now. The point is, you guys are the best fans ever. You're the best fans around. You're the best fans in the world. You deserve the best show ever. And our goal, each and every day, will be to provide you with the best show ever. So why not just keep it real 100% with how we're going to try to walk the walk and we're going to talk the talk, obviously, for the next 4 hours. That's why it's called The Best Show Ever. But it's now time for our opening statement. And the opening statement starts with the word of the day. The word of the day is beginning. Beginning, for obvious reasons beyond just the show, beginning. Because with the Phillies, and we're going to get to the Eagles, we're going to talk to Tim McManus at 4 o'clock, we get to Sean Watson, we got a lot of things to get to today. Trade deadline tomorrow, 6 o'clock, we got a lot to get to with the Phillies. But beginning, because right now is the beginning in a couple different ways. Number one, with the team, they're now a season high, 8 games above 500, all right? And for years, we've been wondering, when will this team finally be a contender once again? And I think we can all comfortably say right now, whether we think they can win the whole thing or not, if you're 1.5 games out of the second wild card, pretty solidly in that third wild card, and a chance to add to your team, right now, they're contenders. This is hopefully the beginning of ending the drought that is the longest postseason drought in all of the National League, second longest in all of Major League Baseball. I think that this day, the next 28 hours are hugely important for this franchise. I think that this is important. I think that the team has earned the right to push in. If the team's not good, you don't bother, you sell. I think they have to buy. I think they have to make the move, and it's the beginning. And also, I think with Alec Boehm, I want to give him credit, the calendar has turned. We are now in the month of August. His July was unbelievable, and I didn't know if he had it in him. I don't know if you guys knew he had it in him. I got to ask the people as well today, is as far as the first thing to go with, is this the beginning of him becoming a legit MLB third baseman, a legit longtime Phillies player, like we thought during COVID, that 60-game season, we thought, okay, last season it didn't look that way. Some person who used to sit here called him Kraft Singles. Now he looks like a real player. So I want to ask you guys right at the top, two things. Is this the beginning for you guys? Hunter, will go to you first, of the Phillies making this step and really changing things as far as being a team, a real contender. And number two, when it comes to Bohm, is this the beginning of him being real, or did he just have a lucky month?
No, I think this is a different squad. In years past, we would see them lose to the Chicago Cubs the way that they did, and maybe it would spiral out of control, but that's when I look at someone like Kyle Schwarber. When you lose Gene Segura, and when you lose a Bryce Harper, you have a guy in the locker room that knows, or the clubhouse that knows what October baseball is all about, and I just think that his personality, the way that he speaks to the media, the way that he has that clubhouse going, he's a big part of this to keep everybody on the same page. And, you know, look at their record right now, where they are over 500. This is a different squad. Now, in regards to Alec Bohm.
Is it real?
I ripped him a lot, but I always believed that his bat was better than what we were seeing. You said something, though, a moment ago that kind of made me iffy. You mentioned, is he the Phillies' third baseman long-term? And I go, I don't know if he's that, but will he be in a Phillies uniform long-term? I believe yes.
I have to jump in here because he's going to have to be the third baseman. You have JT Realmuto right now who's going to move over to first base at some point. I don't think you're going to have a choice. He's a catcher. Sooner or later, those legs aren't going to be going. And you have to move him somewhere. Where would you move him? You move him over to third base or first base. You know what? They actually just throw him in center field right now. How's that? Well, that's a joke. That's a joke. Well. But I like what Bohm is doing right now. He is the one guy that has kept this team together. I mean, when you really think about it, when Harper went down, they needed somebody to step up, and they have this guy step up out of nowhere. And quite frankly, the other guys have kind of joined in. JT Realmuto has gotten it going lately, yes. And Castellanos is now starting to swing the bat, although it's not home runs.
He's hitting all singles.
Right.
So, but neither one of you laid out the initial thing, and I want to ask all the people, 610-632-0975.
We're in trouble already.
We all agree that they have to buy. They can't just stay as is.
Certain areas.
Which way does Dave go, though?
Well, we'll get to that a little later on in the hour. But first things first, are we unanimous that they have to buy between now and 6 o'clock tomorrow?
Let's make this statement. I heard Dombrowski's little presser with the media last week, and he said, we would be a very good team in a three-game playoff. Now, if you want to read between the lines, and he was talking about the trade deadline stuff, I'm thinking there's a pitcher somewhere involved in this. And I'm hoping there is because, you know, Kyle Gibson's Kyle Gibson. You get an up guy, down guy every once in a while. You're not really sure what you're getting. But what they need is one more guy to solidify that starting
Well, let
five.
Me ask you this.
And Eflin's injury, you can't.
I'm not even counting on him.
I know, because at first they came with the, his knee's just a little sore. Oh, it'll be fine. His knee's not fine. You can't bank on him even if he comes back. Suarez, I believe in more than most. I think that he's in Club Tyrone, first of all. And all Club Tyrone guys.
He's coming along.
I think he's fine. I do think it's starting pitcher. But we agree they have to buy. Do you think now there are people out there that also think, you mentioned center field.
Yeah.
Me personally, I think starting pitcher more important right now, even though I would love to have both. But which one do you think is more important, center field or starting pitcher? Because most likely, if we trust Jason Stark, he'll be on Wednesday. He'll be on each and every Wednesday at around 4:35. But he's saying that they made a list of players that were untouchable. That came out over the weekend, and I saw there were people who were a little bit up in arms about it. And the four pitchers, I pretty much agree with. You need young arms. They don't have enough of them. Fine. But they made a catcher, at least initially, and I trust his reporting. Now, that doesn't mean they won't change their minds. But the initial statement was that a catcher, Ohapi, who I don't know when he's going to play. I don't know when he'll be ready to be in the majors. He would be completely untouchable. With that in mind, that means you can only get one. Unless you're including one or two of those guys from that top five list, and we'll go over it in just a second, of the top five guys in their system that are completely untouchable, I don't think you can address both issues. So if you have to pick one, which one do you pick?
Well, it's got
to
go starting pitching for me. And maybe they're doing the Logan Ohapi thing more for leverage, where they want to play close to the chest of, I'm not moving this guy. So when they do open up conversations with other teams and you go around the league, then it makes it a little bit more difficult and teams know kind of where you stand with that player. So playing hardball, if you will. But my question to you, Ricky, is when you talk about, okay, Kyle Gibson's fine, he's okay. What if you're bringing in another four type of starter, another Kyle Gibson? Does that satisfy you or move the needle for you?
I think it will satisfy me in the long run, just for the sole reason. You're going to be getting Harper back. You're going to be getting Segura back. These things do play in.
Yes.
And this is why I would go with a starting pitcher also, because you get those guys back. That is like getting a trade. I know that's like an old cliche, and
true.
A lot of people say it, but it's 100%
true. Look how long Segura's been out.
Now, They
were 8 under .500 when he got hurt. They're plus 16.
Well, which is scary in itself, isn't it?
And I saw Casey, who works for NBC Sports Philadelphia. And
Casey
I want to
Feeney.
Ask, yeah, Casey Feeney. We love Casey when he's not talking about Duke. They're 16 over without him. And he's now what the guy with the most games in regular season games without a postseason appearance.
Well, the ironic thing
is there possible that he's poisoned? But separate from that, I don't think he is. But I'm saying,
bang.
I mean, is it possible that he's poisoned?
Everyone wants Didi Gregorius out, and that would almost be the replacement, maybe. So which one would you want? Is he poison? Is Didi poison? Because you can make the argument everyone thinks he's poison.
I know people want Didi out, but look at his glove lately.
I'm on your
really
side.
Good. He's saved games.
I'm on your side.
Please, they win 4-game sweep. I guess we should have mentioned it.
He's
four
not hitting home runs. Though.
Right.
I mean, that's his forte.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. 4-game sweep over the weekend of the Pirates. Didn't mention that right at the top.
That's a yawner.
But first time since 1968. This is the first time they've been bad.
The Pirates are a single A team?
Yeah, let's be realistic. Three or four is probably what you expected going in.
Right.
So to get 4-4 is great.
4-4 is great.
Both times it got interesting was because of Familia.
Why is he here? I know people will look at me and ask me that question. He doesn't belong at the big league level right now. And that is as firm as I could say it. There's no reason that you can't bring up a kid from the minor leagues to do what he's doing.
All right. Well, we got a lot to get to today. 610-632-0975. Trade deadline tomorrow, 6 o'clock, talking about the Phillies. If you can only pick one position, and if we're being realistic, that's where we're at. You saw the small move over the weekend. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. What are you picking? Do you want a starting pitcher or do you want a center fielder? You most likely will not have both. We have so much more to get to. 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, Tyrone Johnson, Hunter Brody, Ricky Pitalico, Jed Scordo. We are the best show ever. 2 o'clock hour, brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. No, look how good that sounds. For equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job, visit one of Ferguson's counter locations in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester today. And now it is also time to start our Twitter poll. You have not heard from her yet today. Jen Scordo, what is the Twitter poll today?
Hello. Hi, guys.
What's going on?
Don't forget about me over here.
Where have you been?
I know. I'm over here all by myself. All right, Twitter poll today. What position would you rather see the Phillies get at the trade deadline, which is tomorrow at 6 o'clock? Get a starting pitcher or upgrade center fielder? Those are your two answers. Early votes say right now 80% is on pitching.
80% on pitching. All right. 610-632-0975. Before we get to the phones, let me ask you this then. We agree. I think we're all in agreement that starting pitching more important. But in a perfect world, a center fielder who can hit, I mean, imagine what a center fielder who can hit 250 would do for this team right now.
I'm sleeping on a rock pillow with Odubel Herrera right now. I'm just tired of it.
Right. It's done. Realistically, again, they probably can only address one. Would you part with any other member? Now, here are the five players, according to Jason Stark's reporting, that are completely untouchable. Andrew Painter, Mick Abel, Logan Ohapi, Griff McGarry, and Ben Brown. Four pitchers, one catcher. Okay, we've all agreed that catcher makes the most sense as far as moving it because he's blocked for probably at least, two more seasons, is that fair to say, before JT would likely have to move positions?
Yeah.
Is that fair
That's
to
fair.
Say? So we're all in agreement that if he had to go to get the starting pitcher that you needed to try to make the playoffs and make a run, you do it. Any of the other five, though, of those other four, are they completely untouchable to you guys? Now, none of us, maybe outside of you, Ricky, has really seen these guys play. We're going on the word of scouts, the word of Baseball America.
I've only seen video. I have not seen these guys in person. And my biggest issue is I think two of them, Abel and Painter, those two guys are no-nos.
So you're keeping
not
them no matter what?
No matter what, those are the
unless
two guys.
Unless it's Soto, which is not going
to
happen.
Let me just put it this way. Yeah. You guys know this as well as I do. In Major League Baseball, catchers are kind of a dime a dozen, but we got the right dime behind the plate
right now.
Okay, you're not going to get a Yadier Molina every day. That doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You don't know how these guys are going to pan out. Didn't we see Dylan Cousins hitting more home runs in Redding than anybody?
Yeah, more than Ryan Howard, more than everybody. Yeah.
And I like Dylan. Dylan came up, he just didn't cut it at the big league level. It happens a lot. So Double A doesn't mean a lot to me. I just think you putting up home runs in Redding does not mean you're going to put them up in Philadelphia.
So Ben Brown, for example, you mentioned Abel and Painter, fine.
Yep.
Ben Brown, if you would include him in a trade to try to also get the center fielder. What about you, Hunter?
I wouldn't even think twice about it. Absolutely. McGarry, Ohapi, Brown, these guys are the ones that you need to move. And it's interesting because when we go back to Dave Dombrowski, when he was first hired, one of the thoughts was he was going to blow up the system and trade all these guys. And you look at his track record, and that's what he does.
Now, a couple of these guys ended up being his guys that have jumped up quick.
So maybe that's a different viewpoint on it.
Yeah, because how many of these guys are from 2020 and after, a nice chunk of them are guys, oh, look, this guy popped up. I'm just wondering from the people because the 8 games over. And I know they're not playing great teams right now, but they got to play a pretty darn good one for a 2-game series.
With a bullpen game.
But don't get me started on that, which is another reason why you need a starter. But center field is still a major problem. I wish they could fix both.
Luriano? That would be a name I would love. I don't see it happening.
See, you're throwing out names, but I mean, we're talking about giving away prospects. They're not going to give away two or three of them. I could see them maybe giving away one of those guys we talked about.
Would one get what you're looking for in return?
Ohapi will get you a pitcher that you'll have under control. His role is this year.
I agree.
Ohapi will do that.
Okay.
I mean, you might have to sprinkle in guys that aren't on that list, but Ohapi, they can take anybody from the major league roster.
How about this?
How many players are tradable in any way?
Let's say you had to give up three of these guys. Ready? For Shohei. I'm just throwing it out there.
I
mean, I'm just saying, his name's been out there. Soto's name's been out there. I don't think that's the Phillies' first thing that they're thinking about, but you get Shohei, you're killing two birds in one stone.
You now have another outfielder. He becomes
your number one or two.
Can Harper play right field at any point this season?
Well, we're trying to find that out today, as a matter of fact.
Well, then, because in a perfect world, he's your DH day.
He hasn't thrown a baseball in, 2 months now, at least?
Right.
Well, and even when he was throwing,
it wasn't pretty.
And then what do you do with Castellanos, who is hitting, but they're all singles? It's just, this is a complicated.
Lead them off.
I'm glad we're starting our show like this. This is complicated. It shouldn't be complicated, but it's kind of complicated.
Now we know how Dombrowski feels, right?
Yeah, because if you bring in Ohtani, then you have to play him in the field sometime, but where?
But Dombrowski did make the statement that we're not necessarily going after a starting player. Because who am I going to sit? Well, the only position that anybody here could think of is center field. That would be an automatic sit.
Let me throw this both of your ways. Do you think it's possible we sit here? And I'd be shocked if the answer is yes. And I'm starting to think maybe there's a higher possibility. Are we going to sit here and be underwhelmed with Dave Dombrowski? Because his motto, if anything, is uber aggressive to the point where you might think he does too much or tries to. Are we going to sit back and go, I'm underwhelmed?
You slow down. Look what he did in the offseason. How are we going to be underwhelmed? It's not his fault that Castellanos decided after hitting every year for seven straight to not hit here.
By the way, Castellanos is
still going to hit at some point.
I know, but I need him to hit it in the seats.
I just feel like there's something we don't know going on with him.
There very well may be. It could be Ben Simmons' house. It could be a lot of things.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah, I already said you dip the sage in triple sec, and then wah-woom. That's what you do. You triple up the sage. Because apparently there was that rumor, we don't know who released it on social media, that they were saging the house when he bought it.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. There was
three times, right?
Yeah.
Three times I heard.
Yeah, they saged the house. to try to get the bad juju out of the house from Ben Simmons.
If you need to do it.
You dip that in triple sec, get a fire expert there. We have one right there. Fire expert right there. Rodney's a fire expert. There it is. Have somebody there and woof and get that out of there. I need him to hit it in the seat some.
Yeah, but
if he's,
it's not as easy as that. He has say. He is the president. He could do what he wants. There's also an owner of this ball club that might not want to clear out the minor league system.
No, I understand that. What I'm saying is because of the limitations that he has defensively and Schwarber has defensively and Harper would have defensively if he can't throw, I would love to have Ohtani. I think Ohtani's the first player I've seen who could argue.
Ohtani could probably play center field.
Could he?
I'm not ruling anything out with him.
I would do that. And if I have to part with Ohapi and Ben Brown, no disrespect.
Ben Brown's got good news. He strikes out a lot.
He may grow on to be Cy Young.
He may be nothing.
But what he is right now is Cy unknown.
True.
I like Cy known.
Well, where's Sixto Sanchez? Because he was someone I was pretty disappointed with when you let him go, and he's had some issues.
He keeps getting injured now.
Exactly.
The Phillies won that trade. So that's my point.
But isn't that the danger you run into every year with these minor league players? You don't know if they're going to succeed. Right. You don't know if they're going to blow out tomorrow.
Right, and that's why I believe that I'm old school. We'll get to Greg and Armando in just 1 second. 610-632-0975. I'm a believer that, and this people might think it's an oversimplification. I get accused of this all the time. The minor league system is there to supplement your major league team. That is either two ways. The player come up to help you, obviously, or you trade that player for a player who can help you.
Right. That's what they're there for.
That's why they're there. To me, when I have the team in this particular spot, now last year felt a little bit different to me, to be honest with you, because you didn't have enough in the outfield, period, outside of Harper. This time you have a left fielder who's hitting with 33 bombs now, leading the National League. And if we believe that Castellanos at some point will hit for some power at some point, you have to push in now. And if I have to part with a guy who I don't know yet, I can live with that. Even if he then goes out to Anaheim and wins Cy Young's, I know I have this one in a million player here, who's the first player, in my opinion, who can challenge Willie Mays, the best player ever. If he does what he's doing now, what he did last year and this year, for 8 years, pitching and hitting, I can make an argument that he's the best baseball player to ever live. I would love to have him here.
What was your question?
I wanted to know if it was possible that we would be underwhelmed at some point with Dave.
No.
I'm kind of with Tyrone here because he's already done stuff. Or are you talking like right now?
Trade deadline only.
Come on, he just picked up Sosa. That's the greatest deal he could have. I don't get that.
It will depend on who else has moved because it does take two. He could call every team. And maybe he is offering these guys and he's just throwing us off the scent.
The other
team still has to say yes. So if certain guys, certain starters under control are moved for an underwhelming haul, if a center fielder's moved.
Yeah, but you've already swung and missed with Benintendi. If you even wanted a guy to come here and play center field, I mean, they got nothing for him.
Yeah, well,
in my opinion.
Yeah, they did. But he hurt his own value there.
True.
He hurt his own value a week before the deadline. I thought the Phillies would be in play because the next time they'd have to go to Canada would be the World Series.
Right.
The Yankees apparently think that he's going to be available.
Yeah.
He's going to do what he has to do. And that changes the dynamic a little bit because other teams, the rest of the AL, as far as the contenders, were staying away from him out of fear he wouldn't be available to play in playoff games.
I don't know if they're fearing the Toronto Blue Jays right now. Maybe the AL, yes, I get that, but the NL teams.
I said it took a lot of the AL teams out of it.
I see what you're saying.
It took a lot of the AL teams.
In that type
out
of situation, I get it, because look, think about us. Think about how ticked off we were for 2 days at a couple
of
games.
They lost both those games.
Yeah.
Other than the Cubs,
Cardinals just did the same thing. They returned the favor.
The only games that the Phillies have lost recently were the Cubs series for some reason. I can't explain
that. It happened.
Because they hit right before, right after.
They forgot the break was
over. Those two games. And other than that, they win every series. Outside of those two, in the last month, they won every series except those two.
That type of Cubs series, though, it happened.
Two sweeps.
You saw the A's take down the Houston Astros. You saw the Washington Nationals take 2 of 3 against the Dodgers. You saw the Yankees, who are a great team, have a really bad July. So I'm disappointed when I see it so ugly.
But that's the only sweep they have all year.
But that's
I know
weird.
It happens.
Phillies went to L.A., took 3 of 4, should have took 4 of 4, but they had that horrendous mistake late in that fourth game. So who would have thought that would occur? It was about the response and the fact that they responded with the young Bryson Stott home run against Atlanta,
Huge. I was at that game.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So it stings and it sucks in the moment, but all around that reaction with the Cubs, just a little harsh in the moment, I thought.
I mean, you just brought up young guys. Think about the historical impact these guys have had this year. I'm talking about go back and Bryson Stott, a couple big home runs late. You had Vierling and Bohm go deep off a Hader, which seemed to have ruined his summer. He's now had an 8.82 ERA since then.
Save that point. You will finish it on the other side. 610-632-0975. Word of the day is beginning. This is the beginning of the Phillies really pushing in and letting us know if they think they're real contenders. We think they need to be doing it. 610-632-0975. We're back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. We're going to take a few phone calls and then you guys will stop dodging the question about Alec Bohm. It's not answered yet. We'll get to it. But first, let's go back to the phones as we, just vibe out here on the show. Greg in Bethlehem. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Hey, guys, it's a real honor to be hitting leadoff for the best show ever.
Thank you.
I never thought that would happen.
There you go.
For my sake. I had a question about the philosophy of pitching and Aaron Nola. Even when he's having a really good game and has good stuff and seems to be hitting his spots, when he gets ahead 0-2, or 1-2, he doesn't seem to want to waste the pitch to let the batter get himself out. You know,
hold on, Greg. I'm not going to cut you off, but, I mean, that's top of mind right now. I mean, they won the game yesterday, right?
He had the stinker prior. Maybe he's referencing the one stinker.
I have a simple answer for this. I thought early on in the season that he wasted too many pitches. He would go 0-2 and go a foot over the zone. He was never close on that pitch early in the season. Then he would throw a breaking ball off the plate. All of a sudden, it's 2-2. Now you're in trouble at that point. Now you got to start coming back across the plate. I get it, but if you're not locating like an 0-2 fastball where you want it, or your curveball's a little bit off, that's not putting anybody away when it's 0-2.
Where he is right, though, is when he goes bad, it's always with two strikes.
Yeah.
It doesn't go bad where the first pitch a guy hits it out. It doesn't go bad where he's behind in the count 3-0 and then grooves something. No, he's ahead 0-2. This is weird when it's going bad for him and then gives up the home run. That is weird. It's just not top of mind for me right now.
I remember earlier this year watching him pitch, and it was around the 7th inning or 8th inning. I'm watching the radar gun, and I saw 96, and I'm going, what? 96 there? Are you saying the radar gun's fake?
Yeah, I poo-poo.
Okay,
that's
what I thought you were going with there. But regardless of it, it's like before with Aaron Nola, I was not confident with the velocity, but he would dance around with his off-speed pitches. One thing, the margin of error is so different when it's not 97, 98 with the way that he pitches at 94, 93, 92, you know?
Now, here's the funny thing, though.
Better with movement.
Now, Booty, who's the fantastic NBC Sports Philadelphia, with two strikes, hitters only batting 151 against him this whole season. That's 80 count, not just 0-2. So it might be something we notice more. Last year was definitely a problem. This year, overall, he's been better, and he's going to have stakers.
I haven't noticed that.
Wheeler had a staker not that long ago as well.
Yeah, it happens, for sure. All around, this year with Aaron Nola, I'm jumping up and down. I'm not complaining about that.
I want to add to him.
He's been great.
I think Nola's been outstanding this year. As a matter of fact, I think a bunch of his, I would say about six or seven of his runs have come in those garbage innings where the Phillies are up a lot, but they're trying to squeeze out a little bit more.
And he
gives up a big hit or something. But it hasn't cost them. In years past, it was, you know, a one-run game. All of a sudden, he'd walk a guy, home run, and the game's over.
It would be one inning, too. It would be the fifth.
Inning with him.
Yep.
Always.
Yeah. But overall, he's not the issue. We're talking about adding to the team, and that's what Amadeo from South Philly on 97.5 The Fanatic is going to talk about. How are you today?
Doing good, guys, and just congratulations on the first day of the show to everyone here. It's going good so far.
Thank you.
And just going to the Phillies, like, trade deadline stuff, is there a specific pitcher out there that you guys are interested in? Because I haven't seen any rumors anywhere on this guy, but Merrill Kelly from Arizona really intrigues me. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
Quite frankly, the way he's been throwing the baseball, I think that his price might have gone way up. And when that happens, I think that's where the Phillies kind of fall out.
I've heard more of a
Tyler Mahle type pitcher.
Yep. I'm good with, by the way, that because Gibson helped them last year. He did.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a star to help this team when you literally only have four starters. Like, when you only have four, the guy doesn't have to be a superstar. The key thing to watch, though, is also watch contract status, because apparently he's not going to do a rental. He wants a guy he can control for this year and next year. So when anybody has a name, and I'm open for all pretty much any name, it's just we have to make sure.
Well, Quintana's on that list. I mean, he's one of those guys that's probably going to be, he is available. But yeah. It still comes down to what they want to give. How much do you want to pay for your present?
And it's a tough thing because, as I mentioned, it's about supplementing your major league roster, but it's still so thin. Because he hasn't been here long enough to build it up. It's already better than it was with Klintak here, but it's not where it needs to be yet. So I guess part of the reasoning for keeping some of these guys is have another draft, see how some more guys work out and build up a better system and maybe be able to build a package for a player. I don't know if they have a package worthy of guys yet.
They haven't had a minor league system in how many years? And they finally have started a base for it, and I think they don't want to go back into that area again.
Well, we got to find a middle ground, though. But when you mentioned that it doesn't need to be a stud pitcher, you're not wrong, but I do feel that there's a difference between acquiring a 3 and a 5.
No. Yes. What I mean is,
unless you believe Ranger is the 3.
I think Ranger has 3 top-end potential.
I know you do.
Yeah, but you're talking potential. That's not this year.
I'm saying I think right now he's a 4.
Right, that's not what they need.
They need a 3.
Right.
And if they can sneak in a 2,
that's fine.
Is Mahle a 3? No, I don't know if he is.
Maybe a 3.5. Yeah,
So how many 3s are better or truly available?
There's not a lot.
And that's the issue.
Especially the ones you're going to pay for. They're not there. I think Noah Syndergaard might be a guy that could be a sleeper.
Is his name just
that? It's the name.
It's sexy, right? The name is what you think 5 years ago.
But
of
also
Noah
pitching with Wheeler again, who knows?
The resurgence? Will he grow out the flow? Now, I'm all in on the Thor. I like that look. Maybe he could go Mamba.
Now, he's on a one-year deal, but I'd do it.
Depending on what you give up.
Well, yeah, he's
sure.
a rental.
Yeah, I do. I'm not giving you 1 through 10. That's what I'm saying. I'm not giving you Brown, McGarrett, none of those guys on that list. No.
It may be a guy off your bench.
But here's the other part, though. If someone else calls and they say the money can play a factor, the good thing about them going into the luxury tax, the Phillies, for people that don't know, I'm not breaking any news here, but there's a threshold before they get to the next level of the luxury tax. They could afford to bring that money in.
Right.
And not go to that next thing. Others, there are teams that will be resistant to that money, even in a rental situation. So if you tell them we'll pay the whole salary and other teams are nickel and diming them, that could help you. But we won't, and we'll know soon. I would do that because of the top end. And when a guy throws that hard in a postseason situation, in a 3-game series, if he's not in your rotation, I feel comfortable with a guy like him coming out of the pen.
Well, I still think they're bordering on Gibson still being a third. Like, I think they're looking for something equal to him.
I'm okay with that.
I don't think they're necessarily looking for a lot better than him, but if it pops up.
But the key thing with him, Jason Stark has mentioned it, and others, Ken Rosenthal and the local guys, they like the heat they were able to have him last year and this year. The control played a factor.
There's no doubt about it. I think if you ask anybody, they'd rather have somebody for 2 years than just to have him come over here for a couple months.
But it sounds to me almost like it's a rule with them. It sounds to me like they're saying, we're not doing rentals as a pitcher. It seems like they'll do rentals for an everyday player, but not for a pitcher.
Funny you just brought this up, because when I used to play, I used to always think about that. I don't want to go somewhere and pitch for like 2 months and then have to look again.
Right.
I mean, it's a terrible feeling on a player.
Ruben was talking about that Saturday's game. During, he was like, I used to go talk to guys because you're changing people's lives.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's players right now, maybe not many on the Phillies, but the minor leaguers is changing their lives. Like, if you're living in Redding right now, or you're in High A Lakewood at the Jersey Shore you know that by tomorrow 6 o'clock, you're playing in Albuquerque. You're playing in
Right, Vegas, but you may also get a jump in that type of situation.
It could help some guys. It still freaks you out when you're 21 and this is your first apartment.
I was in AA and they were talking about trading me. Did it pucker up a little bit? Yeah, you get a little puckered.
Yeah.
I mean, the one thing that it could have put me on a faster track.
Right.
Could have.
That's what I'm thinking is these guys might feel stuck. I'm stuck right here. I can't get out of this spot. And maybe a new entire. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, from us saying it's different.
And trust me, these minor league towns, I mean, Redding's fine. You might be in some really bad town.
Right. They get an off day. You can get to Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of places where on your off day,
there is no Philly. No.
And those guys
like Spartanburg, South Carolina, Martinsville, Virginia. There's nothing around those places.
Right. So I'm very interested in how it's going to play out. Greg in Lancaster, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. And then they're going to answer the tough question.
All right. Thanks for taking my call, Tyrone. Like, I'm excited to be on the new show. It's exciting to talk to Ricky Bo and Hunter and whatnot. I actually want to talk about Rob Tonsil.
The Hall of Fame manager? Sure.
Yeah. Well, I think the interim tag needs to be taken off. I actually think he's the manager of the year in the National League.
Can't argue with you. Yeah. I mean, my guess is going to be Buck up there with the Mets, but I can't argue with you.
Yeah, but Rob Thompson doesn't have the players that Buck Showalter has.
Well, yeah, and they're getting reinforcements.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, he's got good players. That roster's good.
I mean, by the way, understand this, that Scherzer was out for a month, and DeGrom's been out all season.
Yeah, he's just about to come back now. Buck's done a good job, and we kind of knew that, though. He was one of those baseball guys that they kind of needed up there. They needed the stability of just like a baseball man.
The reigning MVP hasn't played for how long? And Gene Segura's been out.
That's a good point.
You're not wrong, Greg.
I'm just saying, if I had to guess who was going to win it, I think Buck up it with the Mets right now, if they were voting, I believe he'd win it. I think Rob Thompson would get votes. But then you also have haters like Ken Rosenthal out there going that this was all phony. So I hear what you're saying, and the guy deserves infinite credit. I don't need to remove the interim tag now, but what I will say is I no longer feel like, at the end of the year, they got to get a manager.
Correct.
Like, I'll leave the interim tag and let it play out. Maybe they have a terrible September again or something like that. Let's see how it plays out in August and September. But I don't think I'm going into offseason thinking they must get a new manager.
There's no reason to rush into it this very second. But speaking about the Mets and their injuries, I'm thinking about the Phillies. And you go back to, I know the Nationals, when they won the World Series, it's not exactly maybe the same as losing a DeGrom and a Scherzer or losing a Bryce Harper from an injury standpoint. But they did lose a Bryce Harper from, we lost him to our rival in Philadelphia. And I'm just going through the steps in my head. When the Braves won the World Series, all the injuries. I know the goal is much larger and it's to win a title. know, but it really does make me appreciate right now what they really are doing. If you just take a step back and breathe and think about losing Bryce and losing Gene Segura, and when it happened, we stated, there's no excuses. Look what the Braves did. Look what the Mets did. And the fact that the Phillies are keeping pace and some, you know, just it's just me right now admiring them, saying that they really did give us this really nice run to this point, holding the fort,
Jed,
and more.
Well, Jed, you notice that they have been dodging. They didn't answer one of the important questions.
Alec Boehm, what do you want me to say about Boehm?
So both of you guys.
I'm not dodging. I wasn't asked it yet.
You were.
No. You asked Hunter, and then he passed it to me.
All right. Both of you.
Hit me.
This month. Now, obviously, he's not going to bat over 400 every month. We know that. But was this the beginning, word of the day beginning, of him taking the step of being, forget his position?
Well, that's what threw me off last time.
Is he a real major? That's comfortable now saying, okay, he's a real major league player, or was this a Don Brown type lucky month? And I don't mean to throw Don Brown. He's a nice guy. I'm sure he pays his taxes, but we know about guys getting hot.
You're absolutely right.
And so which one is it? Like, is the question. I believe with his pedigree, I'll go out on the limb, with his pedigree, I believe that he is now proving to be a major league player. Now, star, whatever, we'll find out. And I still think he needs to hit for more power at that spot with that height. Pull the ball down the damn line at home, especially. Come on.
I'm going to stop you there.
But
I'm going to stop you there. You don't want him trying to pull the ball all the time.
Because he does go the other way, brother.
He hits the ball into the right center field. I know, but
inside pitches, he's still hitting the other way. I think there's opportunity to put him in the
seat. I think he is starting to take off. I think he's the rocket ship.
So you believe he is?
I believe he's going in the right direction. But there's reasonings for this. He's hitting the ball where it's pitched.
Yeah.
His numbers look even better because I could tell you about 10 to 12 at-bats that he just poked the ball to right field.
He does that quite a bit.
Two-strike pitch, just reach it. His arms are so long. He's got so much plate coverage.
People are calling him. It's funny. I saw this on social media. They're calling him like a tall Jeter.
That's fair enough.
That's
high expectations.
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's going to have a gift basket. But what I'm saying is they're saying that inside out, just taking it and doing that. If you do that enough, you become a star.
But real quick, before we move on from this, I want you to remember one guy when you say you want him to pull the ball more and hit home runs. His name is Scott Kingery. Remember that
name. I don't want to ruin
his swing.
It's
not the same.
It's not the same.
Not the same.
I went there. A 6'5" third baseman should hit 26 home runs.
King, they thought was going to hit 30.
He hit 19 in one year.
But the point is,
what happened?
You think he's a real major league player. What do you think?
I think he's a real major league player, but
it's
this
not a lucky month.
This is the issue. It's not, I mean, the risk.
Some players have, I don't know what other word to use. Some players have these months where all of a sudden it looks like, wow, they've turned the corner. And then the correction comes and they never get the correction
back.
But
he also did it in the shortened season.
That's true.
He was very good.
That's true. He was really good. And he has a good pedigree. Every expert at the time said he's going to hit 300. That's what they said at the time.
So is he the cliche? Was that sophomore slump thing real?
This is the fear. What happened against the Chicago Cubs late in the game, that's not going anywhere. So it might be similar to the Reese Hoskins thing, right? Like, Reese Hoskins can take you for a ride on any given month, but it might come with a lot of sloppy errors over at first base. Like
in that Braves series, there was a couple where he should have come off the bag.
Yes.
How about the footwork?
Just
yes.
Come on, and sometimes come off the bag and save.
His footwork is brutal.
What are you doing?
So Boehm is going to always have that with him. If he can doesn't matter.
Do you think he's going to be a real player at the plate?
No doubt.
Jed Skorda. Before we go to the break, and then we'll get to Dave and Bernie in the 3 o'clock hour. A lot more to get to, including what's brewing, the rant. We're going to find out if Hunter Brody's responsible for a crime. we're going to find all that out. Boehm, real player or not? What do you say?
Yes, I say he is a real player.
You believe he's a real player?
Yeah, I do. I don't think he can stay this hot for, you know, forever. But, yeah, I think he's got it.
All right.
I'm there.
All right, 610-632-0975. Yes, 3 o'clock hour coming up. We're going to find out about that crime. We're going to have what's brewing with Jed. A lot more to get to. And also, still to come, Deshaun Watson talk. We're going to get into the Eagles because there's social media drama again because somebody's got rabbit ears and they shouldn't be. Imagine if, I'll talk about this more on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Best show ever?
Question mark?
610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hour brought to you by Corpley's Bakery and Deli. World famous tomato pie hoagie party trays. Every bit as good. Now we got some business to take care of right now. We have our question of the day. And you can call that you at 610-771-9705. Our question of the day, 610-771-9705 for the question of the day, brought to you by DryTech Waterproof Solutions. Protect your investment at DryTechCorp.com. The question of the day is, we will play these later on in the program, and this is for that line, what is the best first season of a television show ever? 610-771-9705. I see on social media people have different suggestions. This is obviously our first season. So with that in mind, what was the best sports season ever? First season ever, I should say. So you can get to that. And also, big thing for FanFest coming up. Big thing for FanFest coming up. There will be a FanFest online ticket raid today at 4 p.m. 4 p.m. All you have to do at 4 o'clock, you go to 975thefanatic.com today at 4, click on the online ticket rate logo, and you can grab yourself a pair of free tickets. FanFest is 2 months from today. All right? Taking care of our business there. Now, word of the day beginning. We're talking about the Phillies trade deadline. We're going to get to the Eagles. We have several things we're going to get to this hour as well. We've all agreed, which is hard to get multiple people to agree on anything, that the Phillies have to buy. And we all agreed that they have to get, hopefully, a starting pitcher. That's all good. We're all in agreement there. Let's see what they actually do.
Does anybody have a really good... I think they're going to get a number three starter. That's what I think they're going to do, and I think they're going to give up one of those prospects.
Well, this goes back to my question that I put out for both of you. If it is, and hypothetically we'll go with Maley as the name just so we can somewhat put a name and a title to it, would that be labeled underwhelming to Phillies Nation? Would that be labeled as just right? I doubt anyone would say overwhelmed.
To me, it would be just right.
Just right. So it would be Sosa and Maley.
Yeah.
That is exactly what I expect. So, I mean, to me, it would be, I guess, right on target. I know what you're saying underwhelming-wise, because I think there's that other step that you always want the team to take.
You do, but the issue is, and I hate to do this, and we're going to move on. We're going to take phone calls and stuff. If the right fielder's hitting, and I know batting 250-something, he's not terrible, but if the right fielder is being productive and he's on pace for 35 home runs, it's framed differently.
You wouldn't have this problem right now.
There wouldn't be
a problem. If he was hitting production, he is hitting, what, 268 which is fine. But his production numbers are way down from last year.
If his production was half of Schwarber's production, literally half, so that's, what, 16, 17 home runs
double his home runs right now.
Right, I'm saying if he had 16 versus 8 home runs right now, and go with it, the doubles and everything with it, because right now he's just hitting singles, then we're looking at, now at that point, we just want a defensive body in center field. A guy who, at that point, you could almost live with Moniak at that point if he's being that productive.
He has almost 400 at-bats.
The visual is ugly, though. It's the strikeouts on the outside part of the plate.
Oh, and all that. Horrible.
So, with this, and we're agreeing that the team's in the mix. There's no doubt about it. Mathematically and really.
They're going to make the playoffs.
I don't think
this move is not to make the playoffs.
It's to help them once they get there.
Right, but I mean, we just heard Jen. Jen say a couple minutes ago that Nick Nelson is starting tomorrow.
Yeah, you can't have
that. I mean, it's all fine and dandy if you guys were 10 games up in the wild card.
Right, and that's the issue right there. That is the issue right there. Before we get back to the phones, I want to ask you gentlemen about this particular situation.
Do you think he starts?
Who?
Nick Nelson.
Yeah, I think he starts.
Yeah, he starts.
Throwing it out there. You never know.
Yeah, I think he starts.
Going to start? Yeah, he's...
It's in form.
Tomorrow?
We were in form.
Yeah. He's going to start.
Yeah.
He's going to give you 2 innings.
What do you think? Should they push everybody up one day since they have an off day on Monday?
You might mix in a trade today.
No. Oh, the guy be available tomorrow?
Why not?
They're not you. You would take the ball.
I would definitely be in there.
You would take the ball.
Take the ball. I want to. We're staying on this. Don't worry, because the Phillies trade deadline is tonight. We're going to be watching it around the clock. Nothing happened in the first hour of the program as far as that trade goes.
And I haven't seen anything on Bryce Harper yet either.
No, and we're looking for that for people out there that this was last Monday. They gave the update. They said this Monday would be hypothetically the day they would get the pin out. Him getting the pin out of the.
I think that would be big news. I think they would let that out right.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet. But they also haven't said that it hasn't been done. If he gets the pin out of his thumb, that's the next step to him get him back. He's back in 2 weeks and change, probably, if he gets once.
I would say at least. I mean, don't get your hopes up. I mean, this is not going to be because.
If the pin comes out today, though, he could play on the 21st.
Play, but he said he's not coming back until he's 100% healthy.
Well, then.
Well, I don't think he was talking about his arm.
Yeah.
I think he was talking about the broken finger.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to come up here and just have his name in the line.
Yeah, but when he doesn't have, I hear that. But when you're not getting any production from right field,
right? I'm just saying, he's going to get his at bats.
He'll get his walks.
Right.
And when did he say? He probably said this way before.
This was about 2 weeks ago.
Well, I was going to say.
No, it was last Monday. He said
that's what he said.
Oh, this was the last. I thought he meant previously, because he probably expected Castellanos by that point to figure it out.
Figured it out.
I'm sure. I wonder what they say when they go home. I mean, you ever think about that?
Yeah. I don't know.
I'll tell you what they're saying. The hell is going on with this guy?
Yeah, I'm sure. I am sure. You're laughing, but that's what happens.
I would be saying that, but I'm trying not to act that way. So, Deshaun Watson, we have to get to it. All right.
Gross.
Right. So, right, Jen. So,
kick us off.
just to give the update, don't worry. We'll get back to the Phillies aren't going anywhere. Just because we talk about something else doesn't mean the other thing goes away. 6 games, Deshaun Watson. Sue L. Robinson for violating the NFL personal conduct policy. Now, he has not been fined. 6-game suspension, which means with everything all added up, even if the NFL adds on, the most money Watson can lose is $1 million. That means he will make $45 million now that this is done. NFL can tack on whatever they do because his money was fully guaranteed.
Right.
And he already got the money. And he used that money from the last 2 teams to pay off all the women. But here was the thing going into it that I want to discuss now and then after the break. And Jen, so here was the issue. Sue L. Robinson had done other cases like this in regular workforces. And she always looked at the culture of the company when laying down punishment. So apparently there was a previous case where it was a regular work environment where the boss had done something wild. Then the boss fired an employee for basically doing the same thing. And she ruled on behalf of the employee because the employer had a lot of infractions himself. In this particular case, I think it's disgusting that it's only 6 games. I said I didn't want him here the whole time. I was very consistent. I'm glad the Eagles didn't get him. I'm glad he's not in Philly. But with what we know about Snyder down in Washington and Jerry Jones in Dallas, could they suspend him for a full season when they got no suspension, nothing happened to them at all? In the case of Snyder, actually both, at least equal, if not worse behavior. Let's not forget that this is the nice thing Snyder did. Flew down all his big sweetholders to go watch them do the calendar shoot for the cheerleaders. And he took the doors off the dressing rooms.
That's sick.
Yeah. No punishment, nothing. So with that in mind, Jen, could Sue L. Robinson bang Watson for a big, big suspension when the people who own the teams do something at least as bad and get no punishment?
Of course, they can do whatever they want. However, it would be difficult to make the argument if they didn't do anything about the owners. It would be very difficult to make the argument.
And we know about Jerry Jones's or allegations. The Snyder thing happened.
Right.
Like, and they've had culture changes and stuff like that.
So do you think that it was a limited suspension because they might have to suspend owners?
This particular person that it went to, she believes that every company has a culture. Like, this show, over time, will have a culture. Things that will be allowed, things that won't. Now, if it's me, it's zero tolerance for anything. I'm not taking any mess from any of y'all. But if I'm acting crazy, I can't get mad if one of you act crazy. Well, if Snyder's doing that, if Snyder's doing that, right? And that happened. All the suite holders didn't come down to, I think they were down in Mexico at some resort, and he took the curtains off the dressing room and they had to change in front of people.
I think Ricky nailed it there. It's, you know, you look at the limited amount of suspension, because now what does that mean for what would happen with Snyder, what would happen with Jerry Jones? Another way to kind of look at it is, because, I mean, Jerry Jones is such a big and powerful name in general, but I wonder if, using Dan Snyder as the example, if you do give some sort of, I don't know, suspension towards Deshaun Watson.
Because 6 games is nothing.
Right, a bigger one. Yeah. It's the fact that it's the play, like, how much more louder is it when it's handed down to a player compared to an owner? How much does that come into play?
It was going
to
be a full seat. Me too.
And right. And that's what I think would have been fair without criminal charges. And unfortunately, that does matter as far as the CBA and everything. That does matter. We're getting ready to go to break. That does matter. But she, in previous cases, the way she looks at it is, if your culture says this is okay, why isn't it okay?
That's flawed, though. That's a very flawed way to handle business.
But is it? Or is the NFL flawed for not punishing their owners?
I think both.
Letting them do whatever they want.
I think it's both. I think it's a flawed way to look at it, and the NFL is fraudulent.
But if again, nothing criminal. That's where it matters. If he's found guilty, there's no doubt that he gets a bigger suspension from her, because now it's legal. What you're talking about is civil liability on the owner's case, civil liability on the player's case.
Right.
She said, well, if the owner's got nothing, how can I give him but so much? The owner's bad behavior makes women less safe. That's what this adds up to, because the players are real people.
It's fair.
So every time the owners, and we hear about the Robert Kraft and all these different situations, and they go, oh, NFL, and this is what bothers me about the NFL in general before we go to break. It beat church. It's the biggest thing in the world. We get it. But that doesn't mean you should be able to do anything you want. And they've set up a situation, literally, where these guys can basically, he's losing $1 million. I mean, he'll not like missing 6 games. He's losing $1
million. That's nothing.
Out of 46 million.
That's nothing for him.
I wonder what the fan base feels.
With the Browns?
Yeah. The Browns, they just want somebody to play quarterback.
Yeah, you're probably right. Which is the problem, though. It goes back to the issue here.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. Dave and Nico, will get to you on the other side. But adding on to the pile, Deshaun Watson, are you comfortable with only a 6-game suspension? And is the arbitrator wrong when the owners do stuff worse or equal to, and they get in no trouble at all? 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. As Grover Washington Jr. brings us back.
It's nice.
Smooth.
I feel like we should be having dinner right now. A nice glass
Candle
of wine.
Yes.
Nice bottle of Chianti.
This show's not just about sports, all right? It's also about the romance, love, espionage.
You got any romance going on, Ricky Bo?
No, I'm good.
No romance?
So, 610-632-0975. No romance there. Well, somebody allegedly got married a couple weeks ago.
What do you mean allegedly?
Were
you there, Ricky?
I was not invited.
Yeah, Jim, were you there at the wedding?
No, sir.
Yeah, I also wasn't there. So I saw photos, but I don't know what actually happened.
And I was even invited, to do his show with him a long time ago, too. So, I mean, you know,
whatever.
Apparently I wasn't very good on that show.
None of us were there. are invited, but that's fine. That's not actually why I brought this up. Before we get back to the foes, so Hunter, you have at least one love of your life.
I do have a love of my life. My wife.
And her name, first name?
Kara.
Uh-huh.
Now the last name change. Getting mail to the house is kind of funny to look at.
Yeah.
The last name change.
Yeah, that's very nice for you.
Yes.
But you have a second love.
Which would be what? My dogs?
No. Your second love, if anybody doesn't know, we might as well inform. This is a getting to know each other segment.
Yes.
Period of the program. You love Kanye West at least as much as you love your wife.
That is so not true. But do I enjoy him a lot in my music fandom? Absolutely.
Okay. Well, there was a music festival in Miami. This is why I'm saying allegedly, Ricky. Where Kanye was supposed to be a headliner, and he canceled.
Disappointing.
Uh-huh. And they had to scramble last minute to get a replacement headliner for the first day of this particular festival. There are some fans, even though his fan base, these were young people who are very online, somehow some people missed that Kanye had canceled, and now Kid Cudi became the headliner for that particular day. And this is where you come into play, Hunter. So while Hunter's supposed to be getting married or traveling internationally, instead, Kid Cudi's on stage, instead of Kanye West, and by coincidence, allegedly, getting hit in the face with full water bottles, which caused him, due to his safety concerns, to leave the stage, only to bring a different artist up eventually, and Kanye comes out with that other artist. Now, you're amongst friends, okay? Now, be honest. You're the one who threw the water bottle at Kid Cudi because you were mad about Kanye.
No, I would not do that. See, the thing that you're losing
this
here...
This happened in the last... So it's just a coincidence that none of us can verify your whereabouts. And that happened. That's a coincidence?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because this is what you're leaving out of the story. I enjoy Kid Cudi to the point where why would I be throwing bottles
well,
at him?
He's not Kanye.
You're right. He's not Kanye. He's not at all. But the issue with what happened is the music they played when Kanye came out, Kid Cudi was a part of, but the idiots in the stands had no idea I wouldn't be same category.
Hold on. How'd you know there were idiots in the stands if you weren't in the stands?
Well, because I saw them throwing water bottles. I wouldn't do that.
You saw them throwing
water. I was there. I set them up.
Yeah, Ricky Bo's a big Ye fan. See, I love Kanye, but I'm not going to disrespect others that deserve respect within the industry. You're just assuming I would. Where you
would.
Probably, you might have been the one.
No.
Don't know me.
I would never do that. I like Cudi more than Kanye.
Well, that's disgusting to hear.
Cudi more than
Kanye. Was promoting the show down at the stadium.
Yeah. Yes, actually he was.
I was there. I'm out there putting in the work. You're out there gallivanting, and I'm in there. I'm all there promoting. You're throwing water bottles at Cudi. Just apologize.
I'm more disappointed that you just said Cudi is more enjoyable than Ye. I mean, that's just disrespectful.
I mean, not all the time, but recently.
I couldn't tell you a Cudi song. Cudi? It's C-U-D-I, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Kid Cudi.
Kid Cudi, yep.
Yeah, she only knows songs for people.
I'm on this, and we already know my music.
Yeah, it's just
Rootin'
and Tootin'. I'm not even saying.
I like more than Rootin' and Tootin'.
But it doesn't matter the artist's name. The
I don't
point
know who he is.
You. The crime that you committed.
I got no words for you, because this is disappointing to hear.
Yes, I am disappointed.
Where's the passport?
Do you want to see the stamps?
Yes.
I got stamps from
right
Athens.
Now.
Well, I don't have the passport on.
I don't have it.
How convenient.
This is ridiculous.
Shouldn't he at least be a suspect in this crime?
I think so.
You did it. Now, we'll never find out for real, but I'm going to work on it.
Okay, you
it
do
could
your
have been
research.
Framed. Very well could have been framed.
I like the way Ricky Bell thinks.
Dylan, who's answering the phones today?
Well, I don't know if I can trust him.
He does
him.
Everything, doesn't he?
He does.
I'm not talking about answering phones, but he's always in trouble, isn't he?
Yeah.
Sneaky. Yeah,
well, maybe some crimes.
Maybe Dill was down there.
Sneaky.
All right, we'll find out. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 Fanatic.
Yo, Hunter, welcome back from your honeymoon.
Thanks, Dave.
Rick, I have a lot of time on my hands, unfortunately. Are you ready for a rapid fire 6-pack of questions in regards to your career?
Six pack?
Rapid fire 6-pack of questions from journalist Dave. Here we go.
Have you ever been named a major league all-star?
Yes.
Correct. One time. Have you ever started a major league baseball game?
No, almost.
Correct. in your long and illustrious 12-year career. You have only pitched one season with an American League team, which turned out to be your highest win total ever in a season. Name the team, name the win total.
Kansas City Royals, I'm going to say 9?
Oh, man. 3 for 3.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Rick, have you ever hit a home run in a major league game?
If there was replay, yes, but no.
That is correct. 2 more to go. This one is subjective. In your 12-year career, is the catch by Tony Barron the greatest catch period you've ever seen by a Philly or anybody?
Live, yes.
While you were a player.
Yes.
All right.
Faceplant, as a matter of fact.
This is a good one. When Club Tyrone was on location with the A-team about 3 years ago, I brought a daily news sports page to them. And the back page said Rickety Vitalico. Do you recall why you were referred to as Rickety Vitalico?
I'm going to guess Rickety. I do remember that. Well, I obviously was getting my butt handed to me. I think I was just coming off of elbow surgery and I was getting pounded around the ballpark.
No, we're hosting the Dodgers. Shill leaves after 133 pitches. Leaves you a 3-run lead, and you cough it up, and they lose 6-5.
I'm going to say that's false.
Okay.
Where was the game?
We have the newspaper.
Where was the game?
All right, Dave, we're out of time there.
I don't care, but where was the game?
Nico will be first on
the other
side.
Never blown a save.
610-632-0975. He did bring that years ago, but I don't remember the circumstances. We'll look it up during the break. I don't know why people bring it up your lowlights. Talk about the All-Star Park.
What year was it?
I don't know.
That doesn't help me.
I don't know. He brought a newspaper, man. He brought a headline. He didn't bring the whole paper. He just bought the thing. I don't know how he kept it. 610-632-0975. We'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, best show ever. 610-632-0975. Let's update the Twitter poll. Jen Scordo, what are the current numbers?
All right, right now we have well over 1,000 votes. What position would you rather see the Phillies get at the trade deadline? Would you like to see them get a starting pitcher or upgrade center fielder? Right now, 70% say pitching.
70%.
70.
So the 30. Are you okay with the current starting pitching rotation if you go center field?
They're thinking more center field. I brought this up to you, that hole on the bench, the left-handed hitter off the bench. Yeah. I know you got Derek Hall, but he's a young guy. I mean, you might think that that's something they will try to add here also. I wouldn't think that would cost them all that much.
I agree. That might just be money. Just we'll
that
take
might
a contract.
Just be that extra type, you know, oh, okay, we could pull this deal off, we'll take that.
Yeah, like that is doable, and that wouldn't be bad at all, especially when, you got every lefty you have.
Will the new starter pitch in that 3-game series? Because it's Wheeler, Nola, who?
I guess it depends.
Well, it depends on who it is.
It depends on who it is and if they're lined up. Well, when did he last pitch?
Exactly. It just wouldn't be Mailey. It would probably be Gibson, right?
Okay, but if you get a Quintana, then who?
Right. Okay, that changes.
You see what I mean?
Possibly.
I think you just have a balance point where you're trying to get to. But I guess the measuring stick is, okay, if that's going to be the case, that he's not going to pitch whoever you get. So it's got to be in between a guy like Ranger and a guy like Gibson. So somewhere to fit in there. I think they want to go a little bit above Gibson is what they really want, I guess, if they had a major wish list.
Yeah, that would make sense. We had food today dropped off.
We did.
For the program. Yes, it was fantastic food. And it was from Papa John's. They did let me tell you, it's a whole new world with Papa John's. They had the dessert, the pizza. They had the jalapeno poppers with
amazing.
The pepperoni you guys were having. It was all over. The veggie was fantastic. You could order a large, epic pepperoni stuffed crust pizza for just $13.99. And for a limited time, spicy pepperoni rolls for $5.49, and they're a little spicy. It got to the boss.
It did.
Got to the boss. He had one. So if you like your spice, you can get it non-spicy, too.
Oh, the jalapeno?
It got to the boss. Papa John's, the home of better ingredients, better pizza. That's Papa John's. Let's talk to Nico, and then we got some other fun things to get to in just 1 second. Nico, King of Prussia, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, man. Congratulations on the new show, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Ricky Bowen, man, I love you on Post Game Live and all, man. You're awesome. I love how, man, you just go off on the Phillies when they lose, and, like, you get me into it, bud.
Hey, that's what it's all about. If they deserve it.
I got a question for you. I want Tyler Mahle. Is he under control for next year, right? He's on a rental?
He's a two, yeah. But that, his numbers are not eye-popping. You do know this, well, right? Mid-4 ERA.
They were great last year, but, I mean, I know he plays on a bad team and I don't know. But he has strikeout stuff, though. That's what I like about him.
Yeah, and the one thing to take into effect with him, Cincinnati Reds, you're struggling there, but the ballpark, and take this from experience, that ballpark sucks to pitch in. It is a little league field.
Yeah, I understand. But I would think him going to a better team, you know, he might, like, back to last year's form because he was great last year. What are Philly's plans with, like, how do they feel about Moniak? I was thinking, did he be in a trade for a guy like that?
I don't know what kind of value he has.
Oh, man.
I don't think you should ever trade Mickey Moniak. I mean, the guy's on his way to the Hall of Fame. He just needs a little bit of patience. You guys aren't being patient enough with Mick, with the Mick.
Is he in Club Tyrone or something?
Oh, yeah.
Of course he is.
He might be the number one. Well, him and Justin Anderson.
Justin Anderson is number one.
I mean, Mick's been a disappointment.
He's not hitting yet, but if the right fielder hit, we wouldn't have noticed, and then he could have played out there instead of field, and everything would have been fine. But because the bad attitude right fielder, the angriest man with 8 home runs on earth.
But you're also wrong with the Mickey thing, because when he's down in AAA, he's swinging the bat fine.
Right.
So where's the real problem?
These off-speed pitches.
Look at the guys around.
Between the ears, though, too. You got to have confidence.
Well, you know, how do you have confidence when you look over to your right fielder and that guy swings at everything? I'm blaming him.
Look at this guy.
Somebody's on the casty train right now.
Listen, it's his fault.
This guy's blaming Mickey Moniak's failures on Nick Castellanos.
Well.
You got to look within.
Listen.
I'm listening.
We're still listening.
It is a lot of his fault. Okay? When you're a young player. Okay? When you're young at something,
I don't think he's looking up at Castellanos and saying, what do I do?
He is. And he's saying, swing at everything. Because that's what he does. Just do what I do, young person. Swing at every pitch. So tell me. All he is just a worse, a lesser refined version of him up at the plate. Swinging at everything.
Yeah, Castellanos swings at everything.
Well, Mick
can't hit that down and in slider, and he thinks it's a strike every time.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Of course it is. You have way too much belief in him.
In Moniak?
Yeah, look at the way Bryson Stott's playing. I love his game. I'm a big fan.
He's refined himself.
I like him. He's going to be your starting shortstop soon.
But also, look.
Segura back at second base, and he's back at shortstop.
There's Didi.
And I think that's what's going to happen.
I had more hope in Didi.
And the reason I believe they made that infield move is I think somebody's going to go.
Yeah, but, okay, go where? And who
maybe
your Sosa's going to play a lot?
Is your left-handed bat that you speak of in their mind? I'm not saying this is fantastic, but
is it Didi? Maybe a secondary plan, yes.
You want singles.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe a secondary plan.
Yeah.
And just say, Didi, we don't care if you hit any singles. Just try to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Well, he doesn't do that anymore.
Well, he's got one. Come on. It was a big shot, too.
What's crazy is he was doing so well in the beginning of the year using the whole entire field, and he never did that. So did he try so hard to go the other way that now it ruined the part of him, you know, hitting those
balls
to right field?
The only part of him was the pull the ball and hit a home run.
That was what he was good at.
Yeah.
And now he's not even doing that. He never hit one to the opposite field.
He is playing good defense right
now. Yes. Now. You were allegedly on a honeymoon. You were working. Jen and I were off for the last 2 weeks. So I thought we would take this time right now to get in to a couple things that happened during the two-week period, the down period. And there were really only two big things. Number one, we already mentioned, we might as well just get into it, Castellanos. So let me get this straight. Now, he has underwhelmed this year. Is that fair to say?
No doubt.
Am I being mean by saying he's underwhelmed this year?
Nope.
Is that a clown question? Is that a crazy statement to say that?
I love that word, clown.
Yeah, I mean, come on. All right. He got asked a question and then got all in a tizzy. Then a video gets released that's edited. Not said that it was edited. And a bunch of fans jump out the window siding with the player who's stealing their money. And then it turns out that it didn't even play out the way they thought. Do I have that correct?
Somewhat, yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't say. A lot of people
people jumped out the window.
Oh, this is ridiculous.
My thing is this: you're a baseball player. Mm-hmm. You're a baseball player. You're aware when you're pitching well. You were,
all right,
and you were aware when you weren't.
Yeah, and the fans let you know.
Fans will let you know. If you get asked about it, shouldn't the issue just be, well, if I play better, I don't have to worry about it? Isn't that always the answer?
That is the answer.
Isn't that always the answer? In this city and basically every city on earth, if you play well.
Well, you play in different cities. Some might not care.
So you
might be a little confused.
But in a city like this, as long as you play well, first of all, it's not even that. If we like you, if you do something to make us like you, that's enough.
It's about your effort level.
Yeah, if they
it
like
really
you,
is here.
It's fine. Like Utley, if you listen to most Phillies fans, Chase Utley never struck out. Now, I'm not saying he struck out. I'm saying the way people remember it is he batted 400 every year. He was a great defensive second baseman. And had everybody.
I don't agree with that part.
Of course not. But that's how people remember it because we have affection for him.
He also has a World Series there too.
Right. But so did Howard and Rollins and others. But he was put in a bubble which is fine.
I see what you're doing. You're basically saying, you know, I could give you Ryan Howard, and what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
Me, it would be power.
See, me is blowing out his foot, his leg.
Well, that wasn't his fault. But
that's not his fault, but that's the first thing that comes to mind.
Get me to the plate, boys, was the one that I
remember. That was awesome in Denver.
But those guys all had different slumps along the way and were all asked questions about it. And Bryce Harper in 2019 was asked the exact same question. Mm-hmm. And there was no kerfuffle at all. You ask him a question while being completely unproductive. And we have all these issues. And I know this is old news, people. We're doing this is review. But it bothered me. Not so much. I don't care what he says. And Jim Salisbury's a tough guy. He's not going to cry. He didn't like go hide in a corner. But how about go hit the damn baseball and stop complaining?
Yeah.
Just go hit the... He said, I didn't go to college. This is how I feed my family. I hit... Well, then go do it. Stop getting mad at it all the time. Just go do it.
I'm on the page where you dig your own grave.
Yeah.
You wear that shirt, you better come out and play.
Well, he didn't realize in the moment what was going on was Jim Salisbury was just giving him somewhat of a,
platform.
Here is something so easy, take it and just say, I got to be better. It wasn't...
Like Harper said,
exactly.
I would boo me too.
Yeah. But there's a lot of outsiders who saw it on social media, not having knowledge on, first off, Nick Castellanos' personality, which is weird, and then not knowing who Jim Salisbury is. They're trying to make it seem like the Philly media is trying to pry something. It's like, no, he gave him a layup to say, I heard the boos and I need to be better. And now he's looking around the media circle trying to get others to rip on Jim. It just made no sense.
There's no reason for that. Let me put it this way. The players don't think anything of it. You don't think twice about it.
Right.
Okay, we had a little argument in the clubhouse. It happens.
Right. And I was even fine with that. But you saw it, Jen.
I did.
The people, they were in there
crazy.
Taking sides all of a sudden. Like, wait a minute. You know him not playing well? That hurts you as a fan, too. Him not hitting any 8 home runs,
but that has nothing to do with it. Shouldn't have anything to do with that.
But to me,
specific.
But to me, it kind of always does.
I understand.
You could say you could if he had if he had Schwarber's power numbers. I don't know, Jim. You're gonna have to eat that. He's got 30-something.
By the way,
you got 8 home runs.
It's very simple. Look yourself in the mirror
and
answer the question. That's it. If you're able to look yourself in the mirror and say, "Well, I haven't been getting the job done." Then say it.
Right. That's it.
It would have been over like that.
And then over.
And Castellanos isn't known to be super friendly with the media as well. So
And I don't mind that, by the way.
Fans shouldn't be surprised.
All you have to do is be productive. That's it. I'm not asking them to be nice. I'm saying, then fine. If you want to be whatever, just go hit home runs. And I'm saying that we all agreed that he was underwhelming. He has to be aware that he's underwhelming. So why take your anger out on anybody else? Just look at yourself.
I don't think he's going to stink forever here, but I don't know if I feel confident that he's going to turn it around at any point this year.
It could be like the situation up in New York with Lindor.
I just don't
think
it's
the whole year.
Yeah, but
this year, much better.
I just think this is a guy that definitely has power somewhere in there. Why it's not there is beyond me. That's why
this,
I said
and
I
at this ballpark.
Is
and
he,
we
is
saw
something
from
wrong?
House,
is there injury?
It could
know.
Be. It could be. But he's playing every day. Now, I know he kind of has to, but something's not right. And I know he's a righty, Ryan Howard, a lefty. But when Howard would go the other way, the ball flies just fine. He should be
flat.
Able.
It looks flat off of his bat.
That's what I'm saying. He should be able. The weather got hot. I thought with the heat wave, okay, for sure, here's going to start flying. And instead, there's singles flying.
Yeah, he just doesn't look happy.
Doesn't. I mean, it's just something's off.
And you can say whatever you want with that, but when you're not happy doing your job, it's a grind instead of it just being, okay, another day at the ballpark.
Exactly. Part two of the review from the last 2 weeks of people getting all up in arms. So, the Sixers, who are currently tenants, decided in the last 2 weeks that they were going to have a shiny new arena, Center City, and it would open in 10 years. 10 years. Not tomorrow. Not 2 years, not 10 months, not 10 weeks.
And that's probably 10 years from ground bait. No, from the, why from, 10 years?
Because they have to do other land acquisitions and there's perv. There's a lot of stuff.
They have to change the train routes, everything.
They're going to, the infrastructure, and they're paying it for it themselves. Well, rich people don't use their own money. Right. So they have to do the fundraising too. That all plays a role because that's the good thing about rich people. They don't spend it. They get money.
See, other people get money. They make it look like they are spending the money.
But here's the beef. People got all up in arms about it because by rule and reflex, they decide that every building has to be, the Sixers lease is up in 9 years. So that's the earliest they could move. 9 years. And people were acting like it was happening tomorrow. First off, let me tell you, it felt great for me. I've been preaching this. The next stadium, I don't care where you put it in the city, just not there. It doesn't automatically have to be, we're having a stadium, let's highlight South Philly. I go to other cities. I'm sure you guys have been to other cities. You were in Miami. Hunter, I don't know what you were doing there.
Here we go.
But anyway, you were in Atlanta.
Yep.
I was in San Diego last year. They have a light rail, and then a lot of people park, take the light rail, or they walk. There's a bunch of different ways. Why did so many people not be able to expand their minds to the point to think that maybe, just maybe, 9 or 10 years from now, there might actually be different infrastructure to get to the game, and you don't have to automatically put it in South Philly? Yet people, this is dumb. I just want to be able to drive to. Okay, that's fine.
It will be rougher to drive.
Yes, but you'll drive to the train station, and then the train will run you in.
Do you really think that they're going to do this without properly analyzing every single little detail to make sure that the fans can properly get to where they need to go?
Of course they are.
Exactly.
Of course they
are.
I'm
not betting on that one.
Really?
Why wouldn't they?
I just don't.
They're building their own building.
I understand that, but
how much is the city going to have to put into it?
The city's put none in. It's all them.
They're going to have to do something.
Well, the infrastructure will also help the residents around and the restaurants that open up.
Yeah, I guess it definitely will. But, where are they getting the parking for this down there? They need some parking.
Not that much. Also, you put in, they already did how many parking spaces are available within 10-minute walk or 5-minute walk of the stadium as it is. There's a whole bunch of them. But either way, we should probably be willing to adjust our minds just slightly and ask how they do it in all the other cities.
So interesting that you bring that up and that I was just in Atlanta. When the Braves moved their stadium, when they went out to Truist Park a couple years ago, It is so far away from a bulk of the people that live outside of Atlanta. And people said, nobody's ever going to go to that ballpark. Nobody is ever going to go watch the Braves anymore. And look at it. It may not sell out every night. It's a gigantic ballpark, but it does still do well, and people travel out there.
And if the team's good, people will go.
Traffic where the old ballparks were was hell.
Right now, South Philly.
No, I'm talking about in Atlanta.
Oh, in Atlanta. Well, yeah, but it was still easier to get to than it is now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's a far cry through Atlanta's awful traffic now. But people still go.
People still go.
Because they won the World Series.
If they're good, people go. We have no idea who will be on the team even. That of the current roster, you're talking about Maxey. He might be the only player from this roster.
If you're lucky.
That's what I'm saying. You don't even know.
I'm
going to
say none.
That's what I'm
going to say.
It very well could be. And you would have thought, just looking, because I was trying to stay off social media and stuff, I go to check it like once a day to look. Because also, Castellanos. Man, you want to see some of the stuff people have said to me the last 2 weeks? What are you getting mad for? But anyway, you see the stuff people say to me? Anyway, what you getting mad for? You make $20 million and you getting mad about somebody asking about some booze? They did worse than that. People talk about my mama. She's not even with us anymore. Like people talk about my dead mother.
That's on brutal. Media.
Yeah. Right. But anyway, that's whatever. But to think that we're that upset about something being different. Why does change in this city we lock ourselves in automatically have to be bad?
I think that's just human nature, unfortunately.
It doesn't have to be.
You're right. It doesn't have to be. And I used to love the fact that all the stadiums were together because you mentioned in other spots, TD Garden in Boston and this and right. that. I've traveled around before and I've seen other situations. And I like the fact that they were all together. But I'm also not against something new and different, knowing that we're not talking about people who are uneducated making this happen. So right. I trust the ones in charge to make sure that this is the best that it possibly could be. You know?
Right. And it they weren't. And here's the realistic thing. We knew all along they own their build, their soccer stadium. It's about the ownership group.
Right.
They own the Devils, the Prudential Center. They own that. They don't like being tenants. They bought a team where they are and they have a lease, but they don't like it.
Good
they
for were, them then.
I they mean, were always going to get a new stadium. They're paying for it with their own money. Here's the thing. Do you want it there or Camden? Because if they don't put it where they want to put it, they're not going to put it in the city at all. And I can tell you this, it's better for everybody for it to be in the city than to be in Camden.
Well, let's be selfish just, here. We're South Jersey natives.
Oh, it's way better for us.
I think the thing is,
as you too, it's way better.
It's about change more than anything else.
Right.
And I think people don't like that. You just brought up everything in South Philly because that's what Philly is. We are the South Philly is the sports center.
But we don't have to be.
Right, I understand that. I mean, the Phillies almost moved, what, down to Old City?
Yeah, and I remember, and here's the funny thing about money. Here's the thing about money before we go to break, talk to Tim McManus, and then get to more phone calls. At the time, Citizens Bank Park, the mayor at the time, John Street, wanted to put it on the water. And then why people said no to it? Because it was going to cost $1 billion. Now look at the money spent on stadiums now.
Yeah.
That $1 billion, and I will say, had you done the proper infrastructure and you had built it all up, having that stadium, Citizens Bank Park, which I love, on the water and those Ryan Howard home runs going into the Delaware.
Sick.
That would be pretty cool. I'm saying, yeah. So open our minds and think about some of the good things that could spin out from having a stadium down there versus just looking at everything's terrible and change is terrible and everything's bad and this is the terriblest idea.
Well, what's going to spin out are bars and restaurants.
Yeah,
that's what's gonna
I like going to bars and restaurants.
That's a good thing, yeah.
I love them. Yeah. I love them. 610-632-0975. We're going to talk to Tim McManus at 4 o'clock. And people, get ready. Go to the website right now. There will be a Fan Fest online ticket raid, 4 o'clock. All you have to do is click on the online ticket raid logo and grab yourself a free pair of tickets. All coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
There goes Chuck Maggiano. Really just laying it down there. 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia. 4 o'clock hour brought to you by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Online at LandisBC.com. And right now, Eagles are currently in training camp. There's been a lot of buzz. People are living and dying by every word of our next guest. And that next guest is Tim McManus, and he's brought to us by
the new Bet Parks app. Everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook in one sleek app. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Good afternoon, Tim. How are you?
Ty, I'm doing great. Everybody, congratulations on the new show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You are the first guest on the best show ever. And first and foremost, Tim, what went on down there so far today?
Well, honored to be the first guest, so thank you for having me. What went on today is about an hour and 15 minutes worth of practice. The guys in shells and shorts gearing up for their first kind of live session, which should be tomorrow. You'll get a little bit more thumping than we've seen over the first 4 days of camp. And I thought that we saw some improvements from Jalen Hurts. The last two practices were not his sharpest. The defense was clearly getting better of the offense. But Hurts turned it around today. It wasn't like this amazing feat from him. There weren't a whole lot of throws downfield, but what we did see was some better rhythm. There was some better timing to his throws, better accuracy than we've seen over the past 2 days. Some examples of that, a quick strike to Dallas Goedert. He had A.J. Brown on a crosser that was on point, and he was allowing the receivers to kind of run after the catch and catch it in stride, which is a real big part of this offense and something that he needed to improve from last season. So first and foremost, the quarterback with a bit of a bounce back today.
I know we tend to get in this conversation every single offseason at this point, but is it getting more and more uncomfortable when thinking about the lack of tackling to the ground and not getting these guys hit in pads like they used to? And it just seems we're getting to a point now where it's so extreme. Just what are your thoughts?
Well, the Eagles are taking an extreme to the extreme. In other words, yeah, we can go back to my early days on the beat when Andy Reid was at Lehigh and they were doing two-a-days and 2.5-hour practices and they're tackling all the time and all that stuff is true. And the league has kind of moved away from that where everything, Brody, is, you know, a lot lighter anymore. And it makes some sense, sports science, yada, yada. But the Eagles have gone another level from that. For instance, during the OTAs, you know, them and the Bengals held the least amount of practices during the spring. And then we see the Eagles start out with an hour practice and then they do a day off. You know, at least from a practice, and then they come back and it's light again. And so Nick Sirianni has said, like, we're weighing all these different things and sports science is a factor and we're taking everything. But at the end of the day, it comes down to me and I have to make sure these guys are ready, but we're not really seeing any evidence that Sirianni is pushing hard the other way and trying to get these guys on the field more. In fact, it's going the opposite direction where they're not going to be playing in the preseason. You're going to see these light practices. The goal is really just to get to the starting line healthy, which makes sense. But of course, there's the other side of the coin, which is, well, how ready are you for tackle football come September?
You know, it's funny you say that, Tim. Literally since you've been on the phone, Adam Schefter, your colleague at ESPN, has a report that the Cowboys veteran wide receiver James Washington has a Jones fracture. They're concerned he has a Jones fracture, and he was carted off from practice today. To your point, I think that's what everybody's trying to do, to walk that line between getting everybody to that starting line versus having everybody ready for that starting line. And the Eagles, I guess, are trying to not have what just happened to Dallas today happen as much as possible.
No doubt. And Ryan Jensen, the Bucs center, is the other guy that comes to mind. Like, that's a big blow for them to have a knee injury to the guy that's snapping to Tom Brady. I mean, and yeah, that's the kind of thing that the Eagles are trying to avoid. And as we know, we can go all the way back to 2017. We know that a rash of injuries has been, you know, a major factor in Eagles seasons for a number of years now. And they feel like they finally have gotten their hands around it as much as they can. And they're listening to their numbers. It's almost like, you know, September football has turned into the old preseason football where it's sloppy and you're getting all that ugly football out of the way. But now you're doing it kind of in real time in meaningful games.
We know Miles Sanders was with the twos early on. Now all of a sudden he's with the ones. What's the running back situation down there?
Yeah. So Sanders did mix in, primarily with the second team on the second day of practice, but it wasn't like any kind of demotion. We are seeing a little bit more Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell running with the first team, but as the Eagles have been very clear about, if Sanders comes into the season as quote-unquote from Nick Sirianni, the guy, and Sanders, you know, the reports of him working with the second team, he did not take well. You know, when we had the media session with him, he's like looking at scanning all of us. And he's like, which one of you wrote that? We asked him, you know, what his aim is for the season. And his quote was to get the respect I deserve. So he is clearly has an edge about him heading into this year. And during training camp so far, he's been running extremely hard and finishing his runs. And when he finished one of his long runs today, he like pointed towards the media, you know, as if to, you know, to give an exclamation point to what he said a day before that. So right now it's Miles Sanders, a very motivated Miles Sanders, with Kenny Gainwell and Boston Scott backing him up.
Talking to Tim McManus, covers the Eagles for ESPN on the Comcast Business Hotline. Speaking of that, a player reaction, there's another player, Jalen Reagor. He goes on social media today. He has since deleted it. And John Clark, who everybody thinks is, if nothing else, a nice fella, usually not a guy trying to cause any issues, says that Rager had a drop and has been out-muscled and out-maneuvered for the ball some. And then he has since deleted, but I can't even say the tweet, but he says something along the lines of, you guys are making all this up. But that's the nice way so I don't get fired to say it. So two-part question. Number one, how was his performance based on what you observed? And second of all, are players in general now a little too sensitive, especially players who have a lot to prove? Sanders scored zero touchdowns last year, and Rager's battling to make the team.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, yeah, Rager, you know, he's been up and down, I would say, Ty, in this camp, some okay moments, you know, today catches one from Jalen Hurts. There was another one that I wouldn't really attribute to him, where it was a tight throw from Gardner Minshew to Rager that Darius Slay broke up and then Marcus Epps intercepted. Like, I don't think that was Jalen Rager's fault. He's had a couple of nice moments, but really he's been working with the second team. Just kind of a far cry from where the original expectation was to where he has gotten in 2+ years. And when I asked Nick Sirianni about, like, it's hard to see where he fits in, like, how are you looking at it? You know, the term that he kept coming with is he's battling for a spot. Like, not exactly an endorsement, and kind of a stark reality for Jalen Rager that he's on the bubble, man. You know, he's fighting to make the team. A first round pick is fighting to make the team. Him and social media has kind of been a problem where he has looked at it a little bit too much. It impacted his mental health, certainly as a rookie. He said that basically he was kind of weeding that out and just listening to people close to him. But as the tweet showed today, not entirely. It's understandable for him to be emotional. You know, it's understandable for him to be sensitive to, you know, what is just a stream of criticism directed at a 23-year-old. So I'm sympathetic to that end. But, you know, obviously he's got to have his focus purely on the football field and just take care of what he can control so he can make this team.
Kelce somewhat touched on this too, but after the Super Bowl, there was a lot of confidence for that following season, and it didn't really go well. You have to find that proper balance. So how do you describe the vibe surrounding the current confidence level, which seems to be high right now, but is it too high? Is it just right? What's your feel?
Now, I think that they're in a pretty good place, and Kelce kind of laid it out. He addressed the team before he spoke to us and essentially seemed to deliver this message of, you know, when the media thought we were going to do awesome, you know, we were terrible. And when they thought we were going to be terrible, we did awesome. And so that was just a way of expressing, you know, don't buy in one way or another and focus on the task at hand. And I haven't seen like any kind of air of we've arrived or we're amazing. Like that's not what's dripping off of these guys right now. I think there's very much a workmanlike attitude and a recognition that, you know, big off-season moves doesn't correlate to in-season success and that they have a lot to prove. And so, you know, at least from where I'm standing, I don't think they've really bought into any kind of hype machine that was surrounding this team early on.
I think a lot of people around this team right now think that, you know, as the Eagles have all these weapons offensively, so it's all on Jalen Hurts' shoulders. And I've heard some things with Sirianni saying he didn't like the way the quarterback situation or the quarterback was playing early on. Is that because of the defense, though? Did the defense get that much better that it's making their offense struggle in practice?
Yeah, I would say it's a factor for sure. And the defensive secondary being a big part of that. Like, I feel like the corner trio, when we're talking Bradbury and Slay and Avante Maddox, have been, you know, one of the key strengths of this team, you know, early on in training camp. I mean, those guys have shared making big plays. I just mentioned the combination of the Slay deflection and the Marcus Epps interception today. We saw James Bradbury just a couple days ago, Ricky, where he was all over A.J. Brown and just basically locked him up for an entire session, including when Brown tried to get deep on him and he was stride for stride and made a PBU. So I do think that's part of it, is where the secondary just isn't allowing the offense to maneuver the way they'd like to. In fact, I don't think the first team offense has thrown a touchdown since day one.
I mean, is that good or bad?
It's the age-old question in training camp. I mean, do you want to look at that as the offense is struggling, the defense is doing well? I think somewhere in between is the correct answer, where obviously you want this offense, which has, you know, one of the best offensive lines in football, and it brought in A.J. Brown and has Dallas Goedert and Miles Sanders and Devontae Smith and all these guys. Like, you want to see more explosiveness out of them for sure, but the defense has factored in. So to answer your question, I think it's somewhere in the middle. It's somewhere in that gray area of the defense has been performing very well and the offense needs to step it up.
All right, Tim. Well, we appreciate it as usual. Obviously, we'll be doing our daily updates. They have a practice tomorrow, I assume, and you think they might be doing a little bit more physicality tomorrow?
Yes, I think that they're going to be thumping tomorrow. So this is going to be kind of the clearest indicator that we've seen yet this summer of where this team sits. So looking forward to some popping tomorrow.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much, Tim. And we will talk to you tomorrow as we get closer and closer to that first preseason game next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks so much, Tim.
And he was brought to us by the new Bet Parks app. Everything you want in a digital casino and sportsbook in one sleek app. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, 610-632-0975. I messed up, and we still have to do What's Brewing with Jen.
I forgive you.
So we're working on that, and we have more of your phone calls coming up here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Best show ever. 610-632-0975. Mike in Harrisburg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Did you say Mike in Harrisburg?
Yes. How are you, Michael?
This is Frank in Harrisburg. I'm sorry.
All right, Frank. Sorry about that.
Well, listen, what's going on? The Phillies, you guys don't ever remember, you guys weren't even born when there was just the American League and the National League. They played 162 games, and at the end of the year, two teams made it. There was no wild card. There was just the American League and National League. Okay.
Yeah, that was 80s and 90s.
Yeah, I remember when the wild card started.
Okay.
Late 90s, so that was, right?
I don't even know.
Yeah, that was the 90s.
Born. It was like 1969 or something.
No, the wild card.
No, it was 1990s.
I'm sorry, the division.
The divisions, yes. We weren't born when they were just play to 162 and go right to the World Series. No, yeah, we weren't around for that.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. And I remember those days. I was a kid then, and we took off school to see the World Series because it was like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Anyways, if Harper comes back and Segura comes back and you get a little bit of luck with pitching, the Phillies could do what the Braves did last year. They could go to the World Series. And that could make things very exciting in Philadelphia. And yeah, I don't see any reason why not. They've got a great lineup.
I think they can make the playoffs.
The Braves did make moves last year at the deadline.
Yes.
Jock Peterson, Soler.
Yeah, they redid their whole outfield because of the injury stuff. They got like a new outfield period. They got a left fielder, center outfield. Fielder, and a right fielder. They got like a whole new outfield last
year. So they did make some changes. They had good pitching last year to start with. But they did make some, I'll call them tweaks. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's very fair. They did. They made some tweaks, and I think that the Phillies need to. Now, it doesn't seem like looking around all of baseball, nothing's happened so far today. Well, it looks like much.
He did say that they were going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I understand. I think they're going to make the playoffs one way or the other. For the first time in a long time,
I agree with you.
I don't feel like the Cardinals are that power. Although, they're not afraid to go on that September run. There's where every Phillies fan should be a little nervous. Think about the past Septembers.
Yep,
it's been ugly for a while.
They did, and they did a lot of damage without Yadier Molina, who's like the heart and soul of that team.
Going back to the Braves, though, I think it's a little more than just a tweak what they did last trade deadline.
They tweaked their team, though. It wasn't like they went in status quo is what I was getting.
That's very fair, but we have to step aside for the next 5 minutes because it is now time for What's Brewing with Jen. Jen, are you prepared?
I'm always prepared, Tyrone.
All right, here we go.
Yes. Okay, so this is fun, being back after 2 weeks and looking for some fun stories. So I started with the rootin' and tootin', because why not? Because that's how I roll. Luke Bryan, who has hosted award shows before, is now teaming up with Peyton Manning to host the 56th annual CMA Awards. So Luke Bryan hosted
last year. Peyton Manning's going to host the CMAs?
Peyton's great.
Peyton's rootin' tootin' now?
He's going to co-host with Luke Bryan, yes.
Well, I don't care about Luke Bryan. I care more about Peyton Manning, who is proven to be a funny guy.
Yes, I think it's going to be great. I think they're going to do a great job. It's they're live in Nashville on November 9th, so they got some time to prepare.
Hunter?
Yeah, you know what? I don't know if you knew this about me, but before my hip-hop prime, I did have a country prime
as
well.
So you used to be rooting to
it? I used to be the biggest Luke Bryan support. My Kanye love was probably duplicated with a Luke Bryan love before he went all very poppy on us, though. Right. I'm talking way before.
Back. Yeah. Country Girl Shake It For Me.
There you go.
Single.
Wow. I know with that song. I know that song.
But the country hype for me has died significantly. I'm way, way, way more intense with hip hop, and I don't do country as much.
Oh, well, I'm sorry for you.
Well, I will
watch
that.
It's going to be a good show.
I will tell you what, I'll watch the open. I'm going to watch the whole thing.
The
but I bet you the open's going to be good.
Yeah, and the performances are always really good in this.
Well, if you like the genre,
if you like
me,
that kind of
I will watch the open regardless.
Okay, sticking with music, but going to Northern California. Oh. I did not know that Flea, who plays bass for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, is a huge basketball fan.
I didn't know that.
I had no idea. Evidently, he is a huge Lakers fan. He was performing in the Bay Area, the sold-out show, big Red Hot Chili Pepper show, and he came out on stage with a Lakers-themed bass.
Did he get booed?
He got booed big time.
Yeah, see, those Warriors fans
have
gotten very passionate about, obviously, their winning Warriors.
Yeah, and I mean,
because their team's been pretty good for a while.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's been a long time, so now you're talking about people in their 20s who now their whole life the Warriors have been good.
But don't you need to know your audience at the same time?
I don't think he cares.
That's a bad move.
Unless he
was trying to stick it to him.
I think that's what he was doing.
But you know, I gotta be honest. I would go to another city and do that.
If you're a performer, would you go into Boston and wear some sort of Larry Bird jersey? No, you probably wouldn't, right?
No, but I'd have to wear a Barkley or forward AI because I can't have Mr. J because he harmed us.
Well, but then you would expect the booze if you're in Boston wearing that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so I think he expected it, and I think he did it full on knowing exactly the hate he was going to get. And I kind of respect him for it. There you go. And we're going to end I do too. We're going to end New York City today. There is evidently a epidemic happening in stores in New York City where people are stealing Spam.
What?
Spam, like the ham spam?
Like the spiced ham that we call
out of
Spam.
The can.
And they're stealing it off the store shelves. Evidently, petty larceny has gone up about 52% in this one particular store over the last year. So the store started putting plastic security cases around Spam.
So kind of like they had to do with the Claritin D. Or
right, because people were stealing that
stealing
for other
that
reasons.
To make other stuff. Or this is what I understand. If you're in a relationship and you guys are active, you might want to protect yourself.
Yes.
Man, you can't buy the protection for years. For years, you used to have to ask for it.
That's true.
They kept certain ones up under lock and key.
That's right. Do you think maybe...
And now they're keeping Spam under the same lock and key?
Is there some kind of illegal something happening with Spam?
Is it an ingredient
for something illegal?
No. Like the stuff that they were using from the Claritin D
or
the whatever, they use that to get high. I don't think anybody's using Spam to get high.
Right, unless we're missing something.
I eat Spam a lot. So
you still eat Spam?
I still eat Spam, yeah. I love it. I think it's
I have eaten, but I didn't eat Spam for 20 years before I stopped eating.
Gotta say, I don't know if I've ever tried it.
You've never tried Spam?
I don't know.
Spam and eggs? Spam and eggs is delicious.
Well, is it really good?
We can't do that live.
Yeah, it's really good.
So before this week is over, Jed and Ricky will both eat Spam live on the air.
That's good television.
That's good radio.
I'll try it.
And you'll try it on the air for the first time. You guys will split a piece.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
Ricky,
will you eat anything? Are you one of those people? Because I am.
I will try anything.
I'll try anything, too,
Even if it's gross looking, I might try it.
See?
No.
If it grosses me out, I might not be able to. But I actually enjoy Spam, so I'm here for it.
All right.
One of the days I'll tell you the tuna fish story.
Oh,
can you not do that now?
Right.
No,
I don't know.
It's a long story. We're up on it.
That was glorious. Thank you so much.
Good to be back with
What's Growing. Thank you so much. All right. 610-632-0975. Two moves have been made, and we will update you on both of them on the other side here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sports Philadelphia. Before we give you a bunch of news, good news for the Phillies and some baseball news as well, let's update our Twitter poll, Jen. What are the latest numbers?
All right. What position would you rather see the Phillies get at the trade deadline? A starting pitcher or upgrade at center field? Right now, 70% still holding tight with the starting pitcher.
All right. Well, we've got good news before we get to the baseball news. Bryce Harper got the pins that have been removed from his thumb, and they say they now consider the thumb healed.
I don't know what happened. I'm assuming you pull the pins out of the actual
area.
I guess it would maybe be a day or two before that heals over, and then you could do whatever you want.
So I'm sure he's probably squeezing a ball right now. He's probably doing that. That means that, knocking on wood, barring some other setback, they said before September, it's lined up to where he'll return before September. August 1st, he's a few weeks away.
August 1st. If he could get somewhere in about 7 to 10 days,
yeah,
I think that would be fair to say. Yeah, and then a week, maybe a little bit more, get some swings.
I think three weeks from today, I think he's playing for the Phillies.
I got to agree with you on this.
So that's a good thing. Period. There's just no downside to that. We'll find out about the elbow. When we were talking about that on the Saturday show before, we weren't banking on him playing the field this season, period.
No, we weren't. And yeah, that opens up a whole nother door of discussion, but that's not for this time at all.
Yeah.
I just wonder, though, what's a fair expectation for him to come back? Are we satisfied? I keep going back to this, but it is interesting because he is an NL MVP type of guy, and he does things that are unbelievable and carries a team. But what are we supposed to expect?
For me, I think that the power will come back before the average. Like, he was a 300 hitter.
Because he's probably been doing some lifting, and his body probably feels pretty good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I believe he'll still have the pop fairly quickly. He was a 300 hitter last season and this season. I think it's probably unfair to expect him to come back to hit 300.
Yes.
Well, it's because timing. It's all about timing.
That's
trying
what I
to get timing down at the big league level. But this may actually be a nice little blessing for them. Number one, he should be healthy the rest of the season out.
Yeah, he's
probably
feeling better than
now. The elbow thing, we'll know. He said he was going to throw right as soon as
that's
he could.
Said.
So
soon
it's going to be very.
He said as soon as he was allowed.
He may be throwing today. Who knows?
He might be trying him.
You know, yeah, I wouldn't doubt if he's out there.
Because he was
to
in the weight room with just that black tape or whatever on the thumb.
Right.
With Lane Johnson, and apparently he's been in that weight room for a while.
But think about what this does. Timing down, you say maybe 2-3 weeks in the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect timing for what? The playoff run in the playoffs.
Yep. That couldn't be better. Now, on the not so good news. There are moves starting to be made. Trade deadline now 25 and a half hours away. And guess what team has made all the moves just about so far? The darn Yankees, who we already know about. They got the outfielder. They were weak in the outfield, or they thought they were weak in the outfield. They were relying too much on Aaron Judge, they thought, although he just hits.
And Stanton, the line drive homer. It's ridiculous.
So they do that. They have now made two moves today. They got the ace, and their closer.
You have to be able to laugh at some of like the Yankee fans. You want to hear one of the tweets?
Yeah.
Yankees doing a lot to distract from them not getting Soto. I mean,
They might.
Who knows? Get them. We don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, so they get Montas. That's how you say it, right?
Montas.
Frankie Montas. And then their closer, Trevino.
They get them both. Well, now they got two Trevino. I told you they did have a Trevino.
So they've made two moves. And now,
see, if Dave Dombrowski made one of those, if you get Benintendi or if you get Montas, that would put me in a way more comfortable position than landing another Kyle Gibson. So can we get one of that type of name? I don't think it's possible at this point, but that's sort of what I would have looked for to make me a little more excited than just a Gibson. But I understand going after a name or a player like that.
I just want to throw this out there because I know Tyrone's reaction. Drew Smiley.
No.
No. I don't want them either. I'm just saying.
I will not be Smiley if they get Smiley.
They're going to get Nick Pivetta back.
No.
Oh, come on.
Nothing makes me more sick than watching him succeed in a playoff moment in Fenway Park and hype up the entire crowd on a big strikeout.
Meanwhile, here,
sick.
He's got the bitter beer face after he gives up 7 runs in 2 innings. Why are you pulling me out?
I just felt like stirring the pot. It seemed like a good opportunity.
Yeah, anyway, well, you did a good job.
Another contender, team that's been in the mix over the years, Houston, they pick up Trey Mancini from the Orioles.
Do we still hate them, or is that over?
I still hate them.
Still hate them all?
Although I do love Dusty Baker.
Yeah, of course. It's hard to Dusty, not like Dusty.
But, yeah, I still hate them. So
you can't hate them because they're good.
I like Gurriel.
No. I hate them because of the cheating thing.
Banging on a drum, whatever it was.
But either way,
nice paper basket.
That's two big moves today because you always need more bullpen arms if you can get one, and they got one. You obviously need more starting pitching. They did that. And now Houston getting Mancini from the Orioles. The Phillies now, first things first, make the playoffs, obviously. But I would like to fool myself into thinking, if the pitching lines up right, I want to be able to talk myself into thinking they can beat these top teams. Now, they don't have to worry about these AL teams till later, but still, they got to do something.
I wish I knew what Quintana would cost, because I think that would be my guy now.
You would most like?
Well, I mean, there's not a ton out there. I mean, if you're going to go after a nobody, it's probably going to be a Syndergaard. That would be just be a guess. And then if you're going to give up a little something, it would probably be Quintana.
It's weird because I wouldn't be surprised, but I would at the same time. And I keep thinking about just Dave Dombrowski's track record. I look at it in other situations, when he was with Boston, when he was with Detroit. But if you look at what he did with Spencer Howard and made that move, that smelled sort of like a Matt Klentak style of move, did it not?
Yeah, but I was also a situation where the intel said this guy doesn't have it.
Spencer?
Yeah.
The peanut butter and jellies to get down to first base?
Yeah. I mean, so I think that played a role with him. I'm getting rid of the old guy's guy.
You did bring that up.
It happened.
I know it did.
It happened. He was the only guy I ever saw throw 97, run to first base once, come back and throw 90, and then 88.
Ty, it would happen without him running to first base.
I got to tell you, I think we were handed a load of garbage when he came up.
Well, perhaps, but they
his
did.
Numbers never. I saw never a stat showed with like him 98 miles an hour
the other day. Finally, did something.
We do have the return on the A's trade. They get left-handers. I don't know these guys. Ken Waldichuk and J.P. Sears.
Do they have the number prospects there?
No, they don't have that yet. And then Luis Medina and second baseman Cooper Bowman are what goes out there. Waldichuk is a headliner. He's very good. Has 116 Ks this year and 76.1 innings pitched. So they said it sounds like a decent prospect.
I would say probably one of their top 10.
Top 10 prospects they sent out in that particular move. So the Phillies are going to, try to make these trades, if we believe the reporting, with six prospects, 6 through 10. Because 1 through 5, they're saying right now, are off limits. But I'm looking. Everybody's been looking. No moves yet from the Phillies yet. All right. Waldichuk is 5th of their top 5. Medina, 10th. Sears, 20th. Bowman, 21.
Must be nice to be able to throw around all these guys.
10th, 20th, 21. If you get to the Phillies 20th.
5th and 10th, I mean, that's a pretty good haul.
Yeah,
that's
but they have another group.
Because they have 1, 2, 3,
by the way,
four,
if I'm not
six,
wrong, Montas is just coming off the IL.
He did get banged up previously before all this occurred.
Yeah, so this is just where we're at with this. So that's the current update. Let's go to the foes. Mike in Cape May Courthouse. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Ty. Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Ricky Bo. Hey, man. Hey, Ricky B.
What's going on?
I just wanted to ask. I was listening to what you were talking about earlier about, you know, he don't have any. Nick Castellanos, I'm talking about.
Yep.
There's nothing there. He's unhappy with the city, or is he unhappy in the clubhouse? I mean, is there any insight on any of that?
There's been no. There's been absolutely none. He did not embrace himself to the city in the sense that I believe his first interview was at the airport.
And that did not go well.
No.
Second was his introductory. That did not go well. And now, really, the third thing that he's being remembered for here is basically saying that his ears didn't work at that point. But, so, yeah. I mean, that's not endearing yourself to a city.
No, especially Philadelphia.
And then add in the fact that he hasn't been nearly productive enough given the contract that he was given.
It's been an absolute joke, if you ask me.
That's fair to say at this point.
I mean, he's been underwhelmed. I've been trying to be kind.
That. I don't mean to beat up on the man, but no, I'm telling you flat out.
He gets paid. You're not saying anything personal. You didn't talk about his mama.
Well, here's
not playing well.
Mike, here's the bigger problem. He's been paid here to act like an MVP.
Right.
Not to come in here and hit 260, a softer 268. He has 8 home runs and almost 400 at-bats. That's 1 home run every 50 at-bats.
I would much rather him bat 200 like Schwarber with the home runs than 260 with 8 home runs.
Well, that's the way the game has changed right now. But he's notably a guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. You guys agree?
Yeah.
And every player goes through this, though. We saw Kyle Schwarber in a funk early on, but he blossomed out of it. Alec Boehm went through struggles, blossomed out of it.
Harper year one here had a struggle. Then once from the moment he figured it out, he hadn't been able to get the guy out up until the injury. But that can happen. But it's happened for so long. And while I still think he's going to hit, no one can say the why is because he has in the past. There's nothing he's doing now that says the ball's going to start flying out of the ballpark.
I know he didn't chase pitches like this in Cincinnati.
No.
That's part of the battle. Yeah. You have to make the pitcher throw the ball over the ball. And that could be just being over-anxious.
Yeah.
Because you're feeling the pressure. You know you haven't hit the home runs that you want to hit this season. And somehow you got to pick those up. And he's just not getting the pitches to do it. When you start expanding the zone, it starts off like an inch or two off. Then it goes to 2 to 3, 3 to 4 foot. I mean, we've seen him, what, foot and a half at times.
I mean, in the dirt. And
it's Odubel-esque.
Oh, boy.
It is. Between the legs, swinging and missing. The personality, though. The personality works when you're raking. But when you're this ugly and this pathetic, it just ends up being a little bit of the opposite. You get shredded for how brutal of a speaker you are to the public.
Yeah. If you can hit, if he's productive, you can do whatever you want. He hasn't been productive, and he should recognize that before he speaks. But
if you want to talk like role models when you come to a city, mm-hmm. and look at what Bryce Harper did.
Right.
You know what? He took into consideration kids with the Philly Fanatic.
Yep.
And he said what needed to be said.
Right. And then we didn't know at the time that his wife was pregnant. Obviously, he did. It was still early, so he didn't tell. My kids are going to be Philly kids.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that he was also then productive, perfect. It'll trouble me to find a harsh word to say about one Bryce Harper, because between doing the off-field stuff and the on-field stuff, what can I say? But in the case of Cassiano, it's neither.
My whole point, have a clue. You're wanted here.
Right.
People wanted you to come to their city and be big.
Yes.
And, you know, when you come up small, this is what happens.
Well, Ricky, I mean, from a personal standpoint of being in the league, it just seems with Castellanos, it's more of a, I just care about the game. I don't care about the other stuff. And is there any sort of positive way to look at that from a competitive standpoint? Is I don't care about the outside stuff. I just focus on the game. He seems to have that attitude and edge. The problem is he's just failing at it miserably at the moment. But you get my point? Is like, instead of focusing on the fact, this guy just cares about baseball.
Here's a perfect example. If he was hitting 300 and had 20 home runs right now, you wouldn't hear anybody say he could say whatever he wants. Nobody would care.
Exactly.
I'd be saying, sorry, Jim. Okay, if they boot him, don't. Why are you asking about that, Jim? How dare you? That's what I've been talking about, Jim. Exactly. That's what I would have been saying.
It is what it is. Yeah. That's what it really just comes down to, performance.
Yeah, just play better. Patrick in the Poconos. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's going on, guys?
Hello,
going
on, sir?
So I'm talking about the Phillies at the deadline here with the move of Mundo Sosa. I had a kind of a prediction. So I had a prediction here. The Phillies need starting and they need a center fielder. So Dave Dombrowski goes and sells away Jojo Romero, who's pitched one game in the past, two seasons? Is that correct?
True.
So they give away Romero. They get an infielder. we have an overload of infielders. I think what they're going to do is trade away Maton, Munoz, maybe DD, get some starting pitching, because now that they bring in Sosa, we have a veteran presence. He can't get sent down to the minors, so he's going to be on the roster for at least the end of the year. And then maybe we have a chance to go get a guy like Merrill Kelly.
I will tell you, Kelly would be outstanding. He would be, but that may cost a lot more than you think.
That's the issue. And you see, you just saw what the Yankees had to do. Now, he was their ace, but he's not going to be the Yankees' ace. They had to give up number 5, 10, 20. He'll
probably slide into a 2 with them. Okay. I guess, or
Severino's
maybe,
hurt, and also they
he may pieces. Actually be a 3 right now because of him just coming off the IL.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, so that costs a number 5 prospect, number 10, number 20, or 21 of a system that's better than the Phillies.
Can you imagine if the Phillies did that? They'd be depleted.
That's the situation that I'm talking about. That puts them in a bit of a, it puts them in a weird spot. I want them to do, they have to do something now. But we do have to, unfortunately, pay some attention to the fact of how thin that system is.
So in your eyes, it's basically, are you playing for the World Series this year, or are you playing just to get in the playoffs and see what
happens? I'm more thinking getting to the playoffs and see what happens,
That's what it seems like. Now, with Sosa, they ended up moving on from Camargo, right? And I'm not telling you I'm some huge Camargo fan whatnot, but he was a pretty damn good defender. Yeah. How much better is Sosa to the point where this is a move that makes sense?
I think something else is going to happen.
Yeah, maybe somebody
another body's going to go.
Right, maybe somebody wanted somebody on the Phillies team.
Right,
and the Phillies said, "Well, we'll make a trade here. Let us see if that could happen." Because you really, I mean, JoJo. I don't know what's going to happen with JoJo, but he wasn't. You know, are you really? Is that a guy that's a big time plan in your organization? No. Right. So, I mean, it was kind of just one of those trades where, okay, we need this guy. Now let's see what happens.
Right. Now, Juan Soto update real fast. Has not been traded. The favorites right now, Padres and Cardinals. But now somehow they have unlimited prospects because when they traded a bunch to get Mookie Betts. They traded a bunch for this guy, that guy. The Dodgers are now in on Soto as well. They have Miller, Vargas. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 prospects better than anyone the Phillies have still available. That's after Mookie Betts, they traded a bunch of their prospects to get him to Boston, and now they still have 5 prospects rated higher than the Phillies' top prospect available, and apparently they're willing and able, because they'll spend the money, to get Soto. So while they're not the favorites, it's still, as of right now, the Padres and the Cardinals are still the favorites, but the Dodgers apparently in again because they keep on pumping.
Let them spend money because then Trey Turner comes in.
Yeah, you know what, though? Year. I'm all in on that.
Yeah.
Sign me up for that.
You
and you know what? Dave Dombrowski, if John Middleton's willing to, I bet you Dave Dombrowski gets that
goal. I hope so.
And just last thing before we take one more call before the break, the Yankees kept, despite the 3 trades they made, their top 3 prospects are still there.
we'll look back at that Matt Klentak era, even though we already have a billion times, and just laugh and laugh even more.
They just
I will
cry. Laugh in pain, that is.
4 of their top 21 prospects, they kept their top 3. They got an all-star outfielder, the other a starter, and a closer.
Yeah. Well, they got. Chapman's been falling apart for them, so they needed one. They went and got one.
And they went and got one.
It seems like that.
This is the goal, though. This is where the Phillies have to get to the point where they can keep spending that money, but at the same time, they're going to have to.
Well, now
you got
to be scared to death of these other teams. Imagine if Dodgers get Soto. My goodness.
Think of Soto. Then now they're. I think the Yankees are the favorites right now. If I had to pick who I think is going to win the World Series right this moment, I would say Yankees. Right this minute.
But
if the Dodgers.
Power, they got some pitching. They just picked up a closer.
Yeah, call me crazy. Good. How ridiculous would a Subway Series World Series be?
It could happen.
You know, no one watched that one?
You said yuck?
Yuck.
Well, of course it would be yuck.
No one watches it. The Mets like the Mets. I don't want to see them in a World Series.
I don't either. But as a baseball fan, it would be wild.
I would not. You know they had one of those already.
Yes.
It was the lowest rated one of that era.
Well, guess what? It's 2022.
Nobody's going to watch that.
What do you mean no one's going to watch it?
Nobody wants to watch the Mets.
Does anyone watch baseball outside of the regionalized area anyway?
Yes.
Well, I would like to think
playoff baseball.
They watch the Yankees. Yankees and the Dodgers. Those are, I would think those would be two of the
best. Yeah, well, I tell you what's going to happen if the Mets make the World Series. I ain't watching.
Come on. Not
I'm
at all?
Not watching.
You can't hate watch?
You and no. I. You, you and I, Hunter, that week. Yeah,
you guys will be
those 2 weeks.
I don't need to talk about it. First of all, we don't got to talk about it. We have football season.
Yeah, but did you hate watch the Celtics in the NBA Finals?
Did I hate watch? I watched the Celtics in the NBA. I hate the Mets more than the Celtics.
Me too.
Why?
I do, too.
I don't respect anything about
the Mets.
I don't respect nothing about them.
Well, they got rid of their whole... It can't be the ownership. They just got rid of the whole...
I don't like the clothes. I don't like what happened with the Brooklyn Dodgers getting... They tried to push them
I see where
queen.
You're going. You're going
I don't like it. Nothing about their existence. And you know what? The sports guys won't do that to us. I'm not dealing with that Subway Series. A pox on you.
It's actually not a Subway Series. It's actually you get in a bus and the police escort you over.
Well, you
I did play for the Mets, you know.
Yeah, but you can
just for a year.
You can take the subway from one to the other.
Well, the players aren't.
No, but the fans are.
Yes, the fans would. Yeah.
That's why it's a Subway
Series. That's why it's the Subway Series. Well, I think it would be quite popular. I think the networks would love it.
I think it'll be quite snooze.
I thought it was the greatest thing ever when we used to go over to have to play the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. You take the turn off the whatever, the Deegan. Yeah. Take the turn. There's a guy standing on the building. John Franco is like, watch this guy, watch this guy. Giving us the bird the whole way in.
Good.
Every time?
Every time.
I love it.
With the Mets, you deserved it.
Yep.
610-632-0975. Before we go to break, just when you thought Papa John's stuffed crust pizza couldn't get any more epic, it did. Hand stuffed with cheese and pepperoni baked into a seasoned crust. Very delicious. Download the Papa John's pizza app today and start earning Papa rewards towards free pizza. And we'll be back here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philadelphia, the best show ever. 610-632-0975. 5 o'clock hour brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door Windows. Big summer sales event. Receive 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDER or visit goguida.com. Yes, Word of the Day is beginning. We're talking about the Phillies. And mostly today, we brought up the Eagles some, talked about quite a few things actually today. But the main thing has been the Phillies, or we are now just under 25 hours until the trade deadline of the team that is now currently 8 games over .500, the most they've been all year, and 1.5 games now out of the second wild card. And that Padres team now pending, they're going to try to get other guys, obviously. But that's a vulnerable team. They had a big collapse just last year. Now, people are saying, oh, well, the second wild card, you'd have to play the Braves. I'm not worried about the playoffs yet. The thing about the second wild card just makes me feel better because it's not the third wild card. You're not in danger of falling out of the playoffs.
Jumping ahead. That's what you're looking for. You're looking to just jump ahead. Who cares? How could you sit back and say, who cares? You don't care. You should not care who you're playing right now.
No.
Trying to make the playoffs for the first time in 11 years for crying out loud. Who cares who you play?
1.5 games. Out of the second wild card with plenty with 2 months left of the season.
Yeah.
There's no reason they shouldn't be aiming higher, but it's so far the rich are getting richer. But the rich are getting richer.
That's how it goes, though. That's why people complain about this sport with the way that the Yankees and maybe whether it's the Red Sox or the Dodgers. I mean, we just talked about it before we went to break, how the Dodgers just consistently grab all these guys. Mookie Betts, Trey Turner, they might get Juan Soto, get rid of another guy. Their whole lineup is an all-star team, basically. So this is why that there are some frustrated fans in certain markets and this and that, because the rich just get richer. Here's the issue. We should be with them. We should be, and I know they do spend a lot of money, but we don't have that generated success that you look at the playoff runs that the Yankees have or the playoff runs by the Dodgers. You know, we spend a lot of money, but we're not getting that generated success. We should. We should be in there.
No, and that's where I'll never forgive Klintak.
Oh, don't even bring it.
He
should never have been the general manager.
He's still part of the organization, isn't he? Selling baseball.
No, I don't
know.
I think he finally left.
I don't think he's actually there anymore. Yeah.
No, I think he officially left.
Well,
he still collected money for a year or two.
Let's think about this for a second. Let's put this into perspective. You have a couple teams still on the Soto thing. And you would assume the Dodgers, obviously, they're a favorite.
The Cardinals and the Padres are the two favorites for them right now.
And the Mariners are still in. So there's four teams really still in on that.
Yes.
Which leaves them pretty preoccupied because that's going to go down to a deadline hour.
Yes.
Is that fair to say? The Nationals?
Yeah, because you wouldn't want to.
Nationals are going to wait till that last second.
Yes. Unless somebody comes right now with something so ridiculous.
So doesn't that put the Phillies in a little bit of a driver's seat for whatever's left?
They could be.
Because those guys have to be preoccupied. They have to save all their prospects.
So basically you're saying there's no, not that there's no pressure on Dave Dombrowski, but he does have a little bit more breathing room with being in a certain position, knowing other teams are maybe looking elsewhere.
As long as that deal doesn't get made before, like, in, you know, even a half hour.
There's got to be a surprise team somewhere, though. Always that, is.
Well,
always
is. Yeah, but who is it?
I don't know.
Milwaukee? Is that the surprise team?
No. And the thing is, the people that are talking about money, a lot of teams can actually afford that Soto contract because that wasn't a real contract. All that deferred money, that's not real.
No, but it's he doesn't even have a contract.
No.
It's coming up on a new one. Soto?
No, what Washington offered.
Oh, $440 million.
But that was phony because a bunch of it was deferred.
Right.
It was like...
Still real money in the long run.
Yeah, but I could get that money during the contract. Why do I wait till 20 years? I don't.
I see where you're coming from.
That's what I meant was it was a lot of money, but you get hit by a bus. It's kind of like when you hit the lottery just went off. You always take the lump sum.
There's got to be something in there where it's guaranteed.
I think it's guaranteed all the regular money. But if you, after you finish playing, if you die, does your family get all that money?
Yes, they have to. Are you sure? Yes, because it's been in a contract.
Yeah, but at either way.
And I'm sure that's written in there. That's what I'm talking about.
But either way. I can still. I don't get to enjoy the money. I got to be able to enjoy that cash. You got to give it to me while I'm alive.
What are you going to that deferred money? You probably don't even know it's going to exist.
Man, I don't know.
Think about it.
I don't know because I can invest that money with my own money, people, and do better than sitting in your bank account.
But what are you going to do? Go buy a team?
If I was, yeah,
I heard you're in for buying the Union soon.
Yes, I am on buying the Union. Five in a row from the Union, by the way.
Very impressive. But with the deferred money thing, when you see what all these other guys are getting, unless you look at the Braves and how they seem to rob a lot of these players and go down that path, when you see what the other teams are doing, you're not going to accept that when you know you could land something so massive.
Right, that's not deferred. I could take less total money to get it all within a certain amount of time and get another contract.
I don't have a problem with what you're saying.
Oh, 57, I'll give you some more money.
It's basically a huge retirement plan.
I can do my own 401k plan.
But I see, I mean. Put some more. Yeah, but that's money that can't go away. You can't lose that money.
I'm doing T-bills, okay? The government's never going to go bankrupt. I'm doing something else with that money.
Yep.
That's why I just thought that the way they put it forward.
I see where you're going with this.
Like, give me the money while I'm playing.
You wouldn't mind being Bobby Bonilla right now?
I would not mind being Bobby Bonilla, but Bobby Bonilla got extra money.
He got like $50 million extra.
Right. That's what I want.
When does that run out?
Oh, he's still got years on it. I want to say...
he's still got quite a... Yeah.
I think he's got a ways. He's still got a little ways to go.
He gets
pretty,
that money.
Pretty impressive.
It's unbelievable. So that's the update currently with the Phillies right now. Harper, no pins. The good team's getting better. The really, really good team's getting better, I should say. And the teams like the Phillies in that range, the Cardinals, the Padres, so far, quiet. That's where we are right now with the trade deadline. Let's see what happens. Lee in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, yo, guys.
Hey, man, what's up?
All right, man. Congrats on the new show to everybody.
Thank you so much.
All right, now, hey, listen, before I get started on the Eagles, as a Philly fan, for the Phillies new players, let it be known, as long as they come to town, they play hard, they're productive. As the fans in Philly, we got their back. We'll do everything we can to protect them. However, on the other side of the coin, you'll hear the other side of the tale, okay? Now, on the Eagles, I'm looking at the Eagles from the standpoint of entire team effectiveness before I think in terms of talking about Hurts and his ups and downs. Now, on offense, who's going to be calling the plays? Offensive coordinator, okay, we didn't do too well on that last year. How about the run game?
Well, no. That's not really true, though. The offensive coordinator did it. The defensive coordinator didn't do a good job. The offensive coordinator changed the entire offense to cater to a quarterback who was unconventional and went 180 degrees away from what they wanted to do. I disagree. The offensive coordinator did a good job last year.
Okay, well, let's just say from the start he didn't. He probably made progressions that turned into progress, but initially that was the problem. Now, on defense, how about the play calling for the defense? Defensive coordinator is going to be calling the snaps, run. Is it going to be what? Pass blocking, blitzing, what's going to happen on that?
Well, we don't know what the defensive coordinator is going to call, Lee.
That's the question mark this year, yeah. But I'm intrigued.
To me, it's the biggest question mark, and we'll talk to Tim about it tomorrow, because so far, we don't really know what the system's going to look like. Tomorrow, when they're in full pads hitting, they'll do some live scrimmaging, and we'll see. Are the safeties a million yards deep again? And all that kind of stuff. We'll have a better idea of at least their base after tomorrow's practice.
They're going to get to the quarterback.
I do agree with that, but the but last year was every competent quarterback, there were too many open guys.
Middle of the field.
And just soft covers with the safeties way too deep. I'm very interested when they hit tomorrow at practice, just where the safeties are lined up.
They're going to be back. The difference is you're going to have linebackers and guys up front that can be more versatile.
But being that far back is still dangerous.
You need the linebackers to be able to back off.
What's to stop me from seeing that and max protecting?
Right.
And that's the stuff that the counter to that is too easy in this league. You have to be able to sometimes show different looks. Now, that might mean he wants to play zone at times. He wants to be a zone head. Bring a safety in the box, drop somebody else back. I'm not saying expose. It was just too simple of the safeties are going to be a million miles high, and if the quarterback's good, everything underneath is just complete 80%.
Soft spots in the belly.
And hope that they get it wrong. And against bad quarterbacks, sure, they're going to make those mistakes. Brady, Mahomes. Those guys aren't going to make those mistakes.
You want to beat Brady? Go talk to the Saints.
Yeah. Well, we know the philosophy, though, of what he wants to do. He says if they're running more plays, that is a higher percentage to make a mistake and something will go wrong. So he's okay with them throwing underneath and running for 5 yards, 7 yards, 7 yards, 9 yards, because in theory, the more times they have to snap it, something bad will go wrong. But when you see Derek Carr have a 3,000% completion percentage in one game, you realize that that's not going to work, but he isn't willing to adjust. But I think he still tries it this year, though.
We got to see. Better personnel.
I don't like the theory.
Better personnel. Absolutely better personnel. My only question on the defense is,
I mean, you look at their defense. Their defense was good last year. Look at their rankings.
Yeah, no, you can't go by that.
I'm just saying. Look at the rankings. They scored touchdowns.
They played like 10 quarterbacks.
And now all of a sudden they got a great secondary.
Well, this year they have better corners. I don't know about the safety spot either.
Okay, still secondary.
Yeah, they got good corners. I will believe it from that guy when I see it.
610-632-0975. I'm on the same page as you. Yeah, I feel a little more negative about it, but there were some numbers.
The personnel's better, right? That looked cute.
Yes.
But we saw, look at the numbers against any good quarterback. Just a quarterback with a pulse. They were down 10-0 to Washington. They had a quarterback who hadn't been in the league a week before.
Well, that happens.
That goes into the numbers.
You're so negative on this team.
On the defensive coordinator.
Their defense is so much better this year.
I agree that the thing is better. On the other side, we'll get more of your phone calls on the other side. And today, I'm going to do my first rant of the day. Because I believe I'm a person who can rant about literally anything. And I don't know what I'm ranting about. Jen Scordo does. And she will let us know here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports, Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
5 The Fanatic.
5 The Fanatic. NBC Sports Philadelphia. Before we get back to the phones, I have told people that I can rant about literally anything. And I don't need a lot of notice. So now let's find out what I'm ranting about today in the rant of the day, Jen. What am I ranting about?
All right, so this is in honor of George Jetson being born yesterday. Did everybody saw
yes,
that? His
I did
birthday
see that.
Is supposedly July 31st of 2022.
Yes.
So that would have been yesterday.
Yes.
So as I was driving into work today, obviously sitting in some traffic, I thought to myself, why don't we have flying cars yet? And I'm mad about it. I want a jetpack. I want a machine that brushes my teeth for me because I think brushing your teeth is one of the biggest waste of time of the day. I do it. I think it's a waste of time. So I want all of the things that the Jetsons have, and we don't have them. And I'm sad about it.
So what am I ranting about specifically about the
More flying? Specifically, why don't we have flying cars yet?
You know,
why do we still have to drive into traffic?
You know what? That's a very good question. And you know what? I'm very annoyed by it because we were promised that. Also, I thought that sidewalks would be like at the airport with the moving. There's
moving.
No moving sidewalks anywhere either. So, you know what it is? It's the big car lobby. I love cars. Don't get me wrong. Barlow Chevrolet. Shout out to Ed Barlow. But I do think that there's two things holding us back. The car lobby, they prefer us on the ground. Because if
Why?
There was a crash, well, those cars, what goes up must come down. And if you're flying out there, you have to set up lanes up there. So you'd have to have, and then you'd have to have air cops. And that's what they want to do. If we're flying around, there's no tickets. So it's
well, there would have to be.
There would not be. You could just fly. Nope, I'm just flying. What you going to do? What you going to do? I'm flying above you. You
well,
cannot
yeah.
write me a ticket.
But there's going to be regulations with it.
There should be none. There's too many regulations like there is now. Where is my flying car? And don't give me, oh, you would need a runway, blah, blah, blah. It can take off like a helicopter and then fly like a plane.
Right, it's supposed to go
Everyone
straight
knows,
up.
Straight up. It's ridiculous that we don't have that yet. I'm getting, you know what? The more I talk about it, the angrier I get about it. Like, I'm sitting there in traffic today. I'm trying to get here. It's the first show, the best show ever. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out how to get there. What's the best route to get there? Well, this road backs up. And then I got somebody driving 50 and a 55 in the left lane. Why is it even 55 as a zone? The 50, it should be 65 and up as it is. So, no, I absolutely should have a flying car. They should be made. We know we can do the technology, and it's poppycock that it hasn't happened. And the only reason I'm not freaking out about this more is because Joe Jetson was born. I'm going to say he's about 40 or 50 on the show, so I have to give it another 40 or 50 years. Maybe those cars are brand new on the program. Also, as an aside, he will allow people to be way inappropriate with his daughter on that show. These loser surfer dudes would just show up at the crib, and he would just let them take out his daughter. These guys sounded like losers, all of them. How about your daughter date a guy with a damn job, George?
All right. There you go.
That's good work.
That was very nicely done.
That is good work. There's two things I had in my mind. One is fantastic music in the background. Two, Jay, you know the brushing the teeth thing?
I think it's a waste of time.
She says she does it, but she's against it.
But that's
just a waste of time.
It's a waste of time. Not that I'm against it. It's a waste of my time.
They just say that flossing's more important.
Which I do every day. I have to floss my teeth every single day.
They say floss is more important.
But I have to walk around while I'm brushing my teeth.
Me too. I get yelled at all the time. Why, are you
why
in
can't
the kitchen?
You just stand there?
No, I walk, I pace, I pet the dog, I'm brushing my teeth in the middle of the living
wow.
room.
Yes.
Boxers. You know what I mean?
Like serial killers just stand there by themselves and just
Weird.
Brush their teeth? Yeah.
Weird.
I need to be, I have to do something else because that, I think that 3 minutes of me just standing there brushing my teeth, staring at myself in the mirror is just a waste of time. So I have to be walking around doing something.
I don't do it because I think it's a waste of time. I just do it because I think I just naturally do it. I find it a little bizarre to think it's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time.
All right.
How about the cars? Are you guys out of your minds?
What are you
talking
about?
You don't want flying cars?
Do you not drive now with cars that are on the ground?
Yeah.
Oh,
these are some
enough.
Of the worst drivers I've ever seen
Man,
in my
but now,
life.
But one of my
you
issues
put them up
sometimes
in the sky,
is
you're going to get blindsided and you're dead
not
automatically.
I'm not going to get blindsided because I got more access. I can go north and south, east and west. I can go everywhere. Right now, when I'm driving, I see a slow car. I got to hope that somebody in the other lane is driving faster than I can go around.
You can go any direction. So can't those other people.
Right, but man, you almost talking to Maverick as it is. All right? Man, I'll be in there. Back left. You don't got to worry. I'll hit the brakes. He'll fly right by me.
See, the
I'm
big,
ready.
Biggest problem in society driving, people don't know how to merge.
This is about you defer your money.
I want to see you
just
try
in
to,
case you die.
I want to see you try to merge in the sky.
You know,
There'll be no merge. There's up, down, it's all over. The sky's
there's
got plenty of room.
There's not enough room up there.
Plenty of room. I'm going up high.
I'm with you, Ricky. This is why you defer the money if you're Soto. When this happens...
You're one shot, you're dead. Boom. That's it. Some bad driver hits you, it's over.
No.
Well, I mean, that could happen today.
That could happen.
Unless you can control your speed a little bit here, I guess.
That's what I'm saying. There would have to be regulations up there. It would be a whole thing, but...
But that's why it's never happening.
It would be great.
It's going to happen.
I think it would be awesome. I always thought I'd be George Jetson flying around in a little car all glass, chilling out.
Well...
Run out of gas up there, see how it goes.
You run out of gas up there, that's one thing they should do, a safety check. It shouldn't start unless you have a certain amount of gas.
But they also have to wear helmets, so there's no air where they are.
What do you mean they got to wear helmets?
You never notice that.
Yeah, when they're outside.
When they're outside. They can't go outside. You want to go there?
They're in outer space. Right, because there's no air.
Whatever type of planet that they're living in, which they're not, they're just Earth. Floating around in the buildings are floating. So you're basically floating. Gravity, zero.
That sounds great.
That sounds fun, yeah.
That sounds great.
And we have robotic vacuums now. Yep. So like some of the things that the Jetsons
have. I have another question. Was it ever sunny on the Jetsons?
Yeah.
Or was it always nighttime?
No, it was sunny.
It was daytime.
Okay, yeah.
Daytime
and nighttime. He had a job.
And then
some loser guy would call him in, basically telling about his ill intentions with his damn daughter, and he would just get frustrated. Meanwhile, I'm throwing him out the window to his death. No one ever find him.
You're talking about a daughter that's not even born yet, per se.
That's true, because George Jetson was born
yesterday.
George
had him really young.
They lived above the clouds, so it's sunny.
Above the clouds.
They were above the clouds. It was raining under them.
Yeah, but it was also nighttime at times.
Yeah, because the sun, but it was always sunny out in the daytime.
I don't know where they were living exactly.
Meet George Jetson. Jane's wife.
Maybe that new telescope will find them.
They'll find them.
Could they use the 97.5 The Fanatic app in these planes?
They could. Right. And you guys need to be doing that. Thank you, Jen.
Is this music going to play every single rant?
Yes.
This is the rant music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
At least for now.
Good work out of you.
Hunter's in a good mood now.
Well, of course. You hear Kanye West and your life changes.
Does your wife know how much you love?
Yes.
Is she comfortable with it?
Clearly.
Okay. All right. Stephen Wilkes-Barre, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Hey, first, congratulations and good luck on your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As far as the Phillies go, in my opinion, I think they need a number three starter. Like that Quintana type, or like even he's always sucked lately, is that Ubaldi from Boston, maybe. And with Segura and Harper coming back, if you could get Wheeler, Nola, and a solid number three starter, I'm telling you, man, this team's going to be dangerous in the playoffs, especially in the short series.
A lot of positivity in this playoff possibility with some callers today.
I do think they're going to make the playoffs. I agree. A number three starter is probably realistic. That is something that they need.
Oh, there's no doubt. I think he's right on target. And it looks like Bryce Harper can start doing some stuff to further his rehab.
And that's the biggest thing. That's the biggest thing. Now you just need the starters too, because they, even when things were going bad, up until the Eflin and then Suarez back injury, they had the most innings by their starters in all of baseball. If they can get back to that and find a guy that can even just eat innings, this bullpen has been much better outside of one guy who shouldn't be on the team anymore and hopefully won't be after tomorrow. Now you're starting to build a team that looks legitimate.
Where are you guys with Eflin?
I got no confidence that he can stay healthy.
I will answer it on the other side here. 610-632-0975. We'll update the Twitter poll, more of your phone calls. We still have the question of the day. A lot to get to here on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philadelphia.
The best show ever on 97.5 The Fanatic. The biggest names in Philly sports talk are on 97.5 The Fanatic. The John Kincaid Show.
You look at this team now, you got some really neat things going on. Schwarber's hitting home runs, doing what he does. Hoskins has come around, had a four-hit night the other night. Bowman, Real Muto next to each other, absolute fire. Looks like Castellanos is turning a corner. Like, you have a really formidable lineup now.
The Anthony Gargano Show.
We've never seen receivers like this ever. Where you got these, this is the best candidate. I feel pretty confident saying it's the best tandem the best grouping of receivers that I've ever seen with the Eagles.
The best show ever.
With Alec Bowman. His July was unbelievable. Is this the beginning of him becoming a legit MLB third baseman, a legit longtime Phillies player?
He is the one guy that has kept this team together. When Harper went down, they needed somebody to step up, and they have this guy step up out of nowhere.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia.
NBC Sports Philadelphia. You listen to the smooth sound. This is the kind of vibe I want to provide for the city. It's a vibe I think we need. Just nestle in with the best show ever and just have a great day. Just feel it. That's all. You just feel it in your bones. Let it get in you. All right? Through the eyes, through the ears, through the skin, into the bone marrow. Just spread out. Feel good.
It's beautiful.
Feels nice. All right. That was Gerald.
Can we get some Pearl Jam on there?
No. It is now time for our final Twitter poll numbers. Let's see what the people are saying they want from the Phillies.
All right, what position would you rather see the Phillies get at the trade deadline? A starting pitcher or upgrade at center field? Still holding tight at 70% want the pitcher.
Great. Would like to hear from somebody. We're getting ready to go to the phones again. Would like to hear from some of the people who want the outfielder, because we didn't hear from any all day, and I haven't even seen any on social media either.
I'd actually love to hear their thoughts on who.
As far as the center fielder, yeah. Too. Yeah, because we know the pitchers roughly, that we know they're not stars, so they're not going to be household names, but we know the names of the guys that are under control this year and next year who are in the middle of a rotation.
Right.
We could kind of, as far as a center fielder who can bat 250 and play a decent center field, I don't know how many of those guys are available.
Michael A. Taylor, Jackie Bradley Jr.
Jackie Bradley Jr. can't bat 250.
No, he can't. But these are the center field names.
What are you
going to
do with that?
Exactly, nothing.
Jackie Bradley Jr. is a more experienced
He'll catch the ball.
So will Moniak.
Yeah.
Sure. He's like a more experienced Moniak. That's I'm saying Moniak is not going to get you hits, neither will he. And he's been in the majors way longer.
So what does Odubel bring to the table?
Nothing.
That they keep throwing
he
him out there?
He shouldn't be there.
I agree.
I'm annoyed that he plays at all.
Join the club. The Hunter's silent.
I'm right there with you. At this point, I mean, what are we doing here? I'm just thinking about how Rob Thompson got into his face the other day for not running with two outs where he should have scored. He eventually got in anyway, but come on.
But that's normalcy. That's how baseball should be. You do something wrong, you shouldn't be that dumb that the coach even has to yell at you. You should have said, I messed up. Nobody does that anymore.
Nobody.
Besides Harper.
Harper does it, and no one follows that lead. Although, while we were out, Romuto did apologize for what he said.
He did,
and I have to give him credit for that.
He kind of seemed to use that whole situation as motivation, because since that Toronto debacle.
Now he's hitting the baseball and playing like the best catcher
in
baseball.
That's two guys who had something go wrong and turned it around. Bohm and Romuto.
Bohm's done it a couple times now.
Yeah, and I hate to hear it. And from that, I mean, kind of from that moment, it's been building.
Wasn't that nice?
Yeah. Well,
that Cubs one was pretty ugly. That Cubs one was pretty ugly, too. Was ugly. That was bad.
And we will have our question of the day answered. That's brought to you by DryTech Waterproof Solutions. Protect your investment at DryTechCorp.com. That'll be coming up in just about 8 or 9 minutes. Steve on the cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. His radio is on, so it's going to catch up to him. The question is he sitting by his radio?
It's a good question.
That's what we're going to find out.
Now, the delay, not that long.
He could be on TV, too. TV has a longer delay.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go ahead and place him on hold just in case. Because the issue is
he may have been asleep.
Or sometimes the person he's having an argument, and he might end up using profanity, not realizing he's on the air, cursing out the person that he's with.
Dump.
Good entertainment, though.
Well, but then I'm okay. I don't want to do it at the Boonie.
Fair.
I don't control his dump.
Man of the people.
I don't want to do that to him. Jim in Quakertown, you're on 97.5 for that.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. God bless you. And glad to
everything's going well with your new show.
Hey, okay, real quick, so far, so good.
Thanks, Jim.
Your center fielder, what about Matt Vierling? I mean, you know, I called to talk about, you know, with the name I heard the other night. Plus, I don't want to bring up Matt Klintak, but whatever happened to Scott Kingery? How bad was that? How bad was that? And then, Ricky, where is our scouting department on a good
it's all new scouts.
All
new guys.
It's all new. They're not necessarily as hands-on as they used to be. I mean, it's really not like, go see this guy, this guy, this guy. I think they get reports, numerical reports. And what does this guy do and what's his spin rate and things like that. So they take a lot out of that. I respect the guys. I know they've had guys, Eric Valente. They've had Gene Shaw, Milt Thompson. These guys know the game, and I those are the guys you kind of want in there. But
I apologize for talking over you, but
no,
one
sorry.
Thing I liked about the manager yesterday, he gave praise to the coaching staff too. That said a lot too. You know what I mean? He's not on an island by himself. You know what I mean? And real quick, one of the best places to brush your teeth at is in the shower. It's easy. You don't get messed up and all that good stuff. So, hey guys, God bless and be well. And
oh, thank you. Sorry about that.
I've done that before.
Yes. It's a good move.
That is a good move.
Whatever works. Yeah, I've done that. I don't care about that. My thing is, why can't you stand still?
Well, don't look
so wrong with you.
Well, no.
I mean, I guess I do.
What are you talking about? You're in the kitchen. What are you doing?
I just walk around.
Why can't you guys stand still?
I can't see you standing still.
Well, why not? I stand still. You yelled at me before the show.
I'm a fidgety person, but I can stand still for 3 minutes.
3 minutes is not a short amount of time.
What do you mean?
15 seconds is a short amount of time. 3 minutes is a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
I have to be doing something else in those 3 minutes.
Am I the calmest one in here?
No.
That's an issue.
You know what? He actually convinced himself for a second that was possible.
I thought for a minute.
Hey, guys out there, this is separate from Jen. You guys just heard it. 15 seconds too short, but 3 minutes is a long time.
Oh my goodness.
All right. I like
there
that.
Should be music playing
right
now.
Right? We need like some sort of music in the background. Right. But that's
7 minutes. Yeah. These are going to be the best. 3, 1, 2, 3 strikes.
I don't know Jen well enough to get in this.
Yeah, you don't want
to
make a joke?
I didn't say nothing about Jen. This has nothing to do with Jen. Somebody said
15 seconds.
Was that her? I didn't know. Did you say that, Jen? I didn't realize it was Jen who said it. Steve Otisell, you're back on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, I want to talk about the batting order.
Sure.
Ricky. Why do we have Schwarber still batting first?
I was just talking about that. I think he should be moved somewhere where there may be men on base when he hits one out of the ballpark. He's not really an on base. He gets on base, but his numbers aren't high enough that he should be leading off. You're absolutely right.
But who should? You got to throw in a replacement.
Go ahead. Who did you say? Because I agree with this.
I think it's Alec Boehm at this point.
Exactly. Boehm, the leadoff hitter.
Yeah,
until,
so you're...
Until Segura gets back, but...
No, Segura in the leadoff, it's fine.
Hit him too.
Why not give Boehm a chance for the next couple days?
I think it could happen. I wouldn't be surprised. Once they get this full club, it's going to be, it has to be different. I mean, because you're going to stick Harper back into his spot, and then you're going to hope.
I'm not changing leadoff hitter, if it's me.
You're not, huh?
That's the one thing I know I can rely on there. I got power. Then once Harper back, I got a three-hole hitter, and I know my first baseman is a butcher, but he's a hitting butcher. He takes that steak knife and hits it out of the park. I'm just trying to work around the knowns and then mess with the unknowns. Like the right fielder at this point, I don't care where you bat him.
Well, you know, the
you're
other
moving to nine. I don't care.
Batting 268, he just doesn't hit for power.
Well, that's why that sounds to me like a 7 or 8 hole guy.
268 is like batting 300 these days,
right? But with no power, I could bat him lower in order, and maybe he's on base.
It's just not very
with my leadoff hitter. That's really where I'm at. I'm saying for me, I know my first baseman can get hot, is streaky, but when he's hot, he really gets hot.
It's a good problem to have, but let's say you do leave Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff spot. Gene comes back, he's hitting 2, Bryce 3. Is Hall your cleanup guy still?
No,
and that would be 2 lefties in a row, by the way.
I think he would be the lefty off the bench.
Okay, lefty off the bench would be that. So Bryce would be 3. Who would be batting cleanup? JT? Which would be, Reese, sorry, I'm forgetting.
Reese, and then JT.
All about Reese. JT. So Boehm now, who's one of your best hitters, will be batting sixth in this scenario.
And then my right fielder is seventh.
So that would be seven. And then what do we got in eight and nine? It's Stott
in the center fielder.
Whoever you're playing.
Vierling?
Probably Vierling, yeah.
Okay.
But I like that more personally. I'm afraid to move Schwarber.
Why not put Schwarber four and just move everybody else
two
down?
Lefty, two lefties in a row, though, with Bryce and Schwarbs. You okay with that?
I'm not.
I don't see, you know, with the three batter minimum, I don't.
Well, you get a lefty reliever in there. That's lefty, lefty two in a row.
I have not had that many problems with lefty relievers.
I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible to do damage.
Yeah, I'm saying, yes, it is definitely tougher. They don't see left-handers as much. But you know what? Who knows what direction they're going to go in? But if there's a righty starter, I could see that happening, even with the relievers.
I don't hate it. It's just that I like having a known.
I see what you're
saying. And at the top of the order, that guy's been doing that.
But they have taken him out of it. You were gone. They did take him out of there for a few games.
Yeah, because he against lefties. Slumping. He finally came back.
It was just against lefties.
It was just against lefties.
I like both options, to be honest with you. I'm okay with leaving Kyle in there, but I'm also intrigued by a Boehm and then a Gene Segura with Bryce batting third and then Reese batting fourth or something. You know, you can get creative with it, but I'm okay with it.
The tough part is, and then how serious are they going to take the defense thing at the end of games? No, the reason is you might lose your leadoff hitter.
There's definitely going to be some switch-offs.
And are you okay? For me, in my mind, losing my leadoff hitter because he's mathematically going to get more at-bats.
Right.
You're now late in games giving at-bats to a, like Sosa now is getting major at-bats.
Yeah, but their defensive purposes kind of come in a lead, like ninth inning. So you look at where your lineup is before you make
after Familia's gone, fine. But if he's still here, nothing's safe. And now I'm afraid that this would be Boehm's spot.
Scary to me. I agree with you with the Familia thing. There's no reason. There's really just no reason to keep him.
It's a one-year deal, right? I'm not crazy. There was no player option on it.
No reason.
I was trying to Google that. Maybe there was a player option I didn't hear about.
I think maybe they were praying at the trade deadline somebody might want him.
And they,
obviously, that's
it. Was it Friday was when it blew up?
Yeah. And almost Sunday.
And then, right. Didi makes a great play. Otherwise, if that ball gets out there,
then it's another couple of runs.
It's another close game.
I'm stunned on how bad it is because you see guys like Alvarado figure it out, or even Corey Knebel went through a struggle, figured it out. I keep going back to with the Mets with Diaz. They hated him forever. Now they wouldn't be where they are without Diaz. Relief pitchers, as you would know, it's weird. Sometimes you get a bad 2 months, you get a hot 5 months. This dude is just.
Familia's been all over the place for a while.
Horrendous.
Yeah. Like Alvarado, different. In that he has ups and downs, but the key is he does have ups.
He does have a little bit of an upside. It's not. Waiting for it is a problem sometimes. But.
And I just think okay, when I see him, I go okay, a little while, but because he throws 100, guys are uncomfortable in there because you don't know where it's going to come. And I've seen him work out of jams. I don't ever see the plus.
You don't want to see him in a jam, though.
I don't want to see him in a jam. What I'm saying is I've seen him work himself into trouble. And his velocity work his way out.
Yeah,
Familia gets in trouble. That's the end of the story.
He's that guy who could walk two and then strike out three. But then he could also walk four or five in a row. And you sit there and say, how is he even doing that?
Yeah, so callers, stay on the line right now. We have a brand new segment. Our question of the day. People are called. Our answering machine is 610-771-9705. Let's see, Jen, what we have today on the question of the day.
It's the question of the day.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your investment at DryTechCorp.com.
Let's go to the answering machine.
Yes.
Best first season of a show ever in TV history was without a doubt True Detective. The first season of True Detective was amazing. The acting was amazing. The storyline was amazing. It went downhill from there, but the first season of True Detective is definitely in the top 10.
Yes, but it was almost a miniseries in that they changed the cast. So, to me, it kind of shouldn't count. Now, that question was, what was the best first season of a TV show ever? And that's brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your investment at DryTechCorp.com. So, while a good first season, I don't think it should count.
It makes me uncomfortable knowing that because you have to look at some of these others that we're probably going to hear. I don't know, but we probably will. That's almost like a whole new show when you change your characters or your cast.
Change the whole cast and keep the same concept. It's not quite the same.
The best show first season on television was the show 24. It was the first time anything like that was ever done where things happened in real time. Great first season, 24.
Excellent.
I could see that. I was thinking somebody's going to come in with like a CSI type show.
24 episodes, one per hour, and that Jack Bauer.
Oh, he was something. The only problem with that is that it was unbingeable. You need shows like modern shows today. You can watch six or seven episodes, you know, in a long after rainy afternoon. 24, I tried to binge it way back in the day. It was
hard. Too much of a roller coaster.
And it was the same thing, the same premise, show after show, so it was a difficult one.
Yeah, that's what hurts me a little bit, too, is just the repetitiveness.
Man, he was rocking stuff. I remember one time he was in prison. They weren't watching him. You got to watch him 24-7. Sure enough. Then he took a chunk of guy out at 9:02, and he was like, relax. Chunk my man out. I'm like, man, we are desensitized to violence in this country.
Best first season of a show in TV history was probably, for me, Deadwood. Started off great. It was really great. And the following seasons were just diminishing returns after that.
Deadwood above, like, well, I'm not going to say them because somebody might still say some of them.
You and I were talking about this before the show, how a lot of times the first season's great, and then it seems like a lot of stuff gets prolonged.
Yes.
As the seasons go on.
Right. And I don't even blame them because there's so much work to get a TV show on. And the pilot, you're trying to get, okay, now I have to get enough ratings to get renewed.
Yep.
And what you end up doing is you can't afford to do the long-term storytelling. That's where streaming has a bit of an advantage because people will wait for those shows.
Do they also value five seasons, even if the first three were great and two were compared to three really solid seasons?
Well, on the commercial side, yeah, because they can sell ads and that show has a certain built-in rating. On the streaming side, they're also okay with being, you're going to be on for these two seasons and then it's just going to end. They're more okay with it on that side, so it's a different situation. But I understand why shows that are struggling just to get on the air end up blowing everything in the very beginning.
This is Kate in South Jersey, and I am answering the question for the best show that had the first season, and my answer would be Ted Lasso. Thanks.
Ted Lasso's first season the second season was good, don't get me wrong, but the first season was completely unexpected, didn't know where that was coming from. Loved it.
Recency bias, though, or no?
No, that season will hold up.
Okay.
That first season of a coach that doesn't know about soccer becoming a coach of the soccer team, and then what's going on with the owner of the team, and then the players, and then all that stuff, and then an aging player. That will hold up. That's good storytelling.
It was good.
Good storytelling. Season two, good, but to me, not quite as good.
Because it's hard to top.
Season three needs to beat season two. Last season two, right, I think?
Yes. That was always the plan. Again, Fox would be like, no. NBC would be like, no. And Apple was like, yeah, we can, three seasons, yeah, sure. Different mentality.
Hey, this is Richie and Louis Delaware. The best first season of a show was HBO's The Wire. Ciao, ciao. Oh,
knew that was coming.
Can't argue with that one. That's right up there. Is that the last one, or we have one more after that?
One more.
Okay. The reason I don't want to give it away, there's another HBO show that's in the argument as well. But The Wire,
one I brought up?
Yes, before the show. Okay. Yes. And then the tough thing about The Wire, too, was season two, I think, is underrated because you needed season two to set up the rest of the show. So you had season one. You needed to see the other side of the situation to set up what happened for the rest of the show. But instead, people just wanted more of season one. So they said season two stunk, when in actuality it didn't stink. It set up 3, 4, et cetera. It doesn't happen if you don't do season two.
See, and then season three lost me.
See,
for The Wire.
And I was right back in.
I don't know how you get lost. Right?
Yeah,
I just went over. No just one wanted to make a comment there.
I think she just quit on it.
Season three.
I quit on it.
Well, season three.
Season three didn't keep me,
What?
I couldn't just feel
like
stay with it.
Like the whole setup and here comes the hammer of season three. Am I crazy like that? I felt like that's what it was.
I might restart this puppy.
I need to hear the last one.
Hey, what's up, guys? Really excited for this show. I'm going to have to go with the best season of the first season, or best season of a show is, I'm going to have to say, The Boys. Thank you.
The Boys?
Yeah, the
which
boys.
I've
boys.
Heard is really
seen
good.
It. Yes.
I haven't seen
I
it.
I have not seen it.
That is, I have not either. The boss mentioned The Boys.
Who'd you guys have?
Entourage.
I thought The Sopranos was going to get votes. And then I was going to comment. I think
nobody
Martin.
Said Ozark.
Nobody said Ozark.
Oh,
either.
Yeah. Ozark was good. Breaking Bad for me.
I was more with the Entourage things also.
Entourage was great.
You know what it was? I never liked Jeremy Piven.
Really?
Never.
I thought he was really. He
also,
did a great
uncomfortable
job in
with
show.
The fact that he was bald before the show started and then full head of hair. It threw me off.
That's what lost you?
It didn't help.
It didn't help.
It didn't help. But thanks so much, Jen. Man,
you're welcome.
Yes, that was our question of the day. So that's what we're going to do each day towards the end of the program each day. We're going to have a different question of the day. And we will call the answer machine at 610-771-9705 and give their answers. And that's brought to you by Dry Tech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your investment at drytechcorp.com. Now, what should I do, fellas? You guys can tell me. Should we take a call real fast or should we talk?
Well, let's go to the people.
All right, Ethan.
I thought you were
going to
stall.
No, I could have also. I have other things we can talk about, but Ethan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hi, Tyrone. How you guys doing?
All right, good.
I'm really happy that you guys got the show. I've been listening all day, and I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
So I wanted to offer a different perspective to you guys. I'm actually a Cardinals fan. I root for the Eagles and Sixers as well, but I listened to the station, so I thought I could offer some perspective on the Edmundo Sosa trade.
Quickly.
Yeah, so I think the trade is bad for the Phillies, and I'll explain why. I'm going to list all the shortstops now they could play on the roster. Bryson Stott, Edmundo Sosa, Gregorius, Camargo, who they just sent down. Segura is going to be back. He was on a rehab assignment. And Munoz, another former Cardinal. That's six shortstops. They have six people they could play at shortstop. And I'm really not a fan of Sosa. He's hitting under the Mendoza line, 189.
All right. You were about to say nothing.
There's no reason to have the guy here. I think we all know that.
Yeah, that is our time. Listen, this was not the best show ever today, but we will be back at it tomorrow. I want to thank Dylan. Thank Booty. All right, we didn't have the best one ever, but I would like to thank Dylan. I'd like to thank Booty. And yes, we will be back at it at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Can't wait.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.